with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The U.S. is this close to having a new defense secretary.
On the confirmation of Robert M. Gates of Texas to be Secretary of Defense, the ayes are 95, the nays are 2, and the nomination is confirmed.
All that's left now is the swearing-in to make it official.
With senators in both parties anxious to replace Donald Rumsfeld at the Pentagon, they voted overwhelmingly and in record time to confirm Robert Gates to take over as defense secretary. Iraq war critics like Rhode Island Democrat Jack Reed are hoping Gates can help find a way out of the morass.
Perhaps the most difficult task that Dr. Gates faces is bringing unvarnished reports of bad news to a president and an inner circle who do not like to hear such things.
Gates is expected to be sworn in before Christmas and says he plans to travel soon to Iraq to see conditions there for himself. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Iraq study group does not recommend sending more troops. Senator John McCain disagrees strongly.
We must have more troops over there. That has to be accompanied by a larger Marine Corps and Army, maybe 20,000 more Marines and 80,000 more Army troops.
In receiving the recommendations on how to proceed in Iraq, President Bush vowed to take every proposal seriously and act in a timely fashion. And he urged members of Congress to do the same.
They won't agree with every proposal, and we probably won't agree with every proposal.
But Mr. Bush views the bipartisan report as an opportunity to find common ground on the divisive issue of Iraq. He calls the recommendations very interesting, though he stopped short of committing to accept any of them just yet. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The sounds of war continue to fill the skies over Baghdad and Anbar province today in 4 separate incidents. 10 U.S. military personnel died. James Kim took a great many steps in arduous, treacherous terrain, only to move just half a mile as the crow flies from the highway where he had been walking, hoping to find help for his stranded family. His body was found today by exhausted, heartbroken searchers.
Was very motivated. We were having difficulty in there. He traveled a long distance.
Under Sheriff Brian Anderson, Kim never knew his family had been rescued. And rather than hunker down and save himself, he pressed on without food since Saturday till he ran out of energy and time. Great news story about leukemia. Gleevec is saving lives. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
A 5-year study of leukemia patients taking the breakthrough drug Gleevec shows it increases survival rates to about 90% and steadily decreases the risk of relapse. It's one of a new class of drugs that specifically targets cancerous cells. This study appears in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Officials think an explosion in an industrial warehouse, Milwaukee, may have been ignited by a leaking propane tank. 3 people dead, a couple dozen injured. Wall Street, the Dow lost 22 points, the Nasdaq off nearly 7 points on the day. This is CBS News.
New Michelin tires on sale from Sears. Along with family, friends, and rum balls, something to be thankful for. With new tires, you can drive to the store to buy the forgotten can of cranberry and the extra batteries. You can go to find the last-minute gift for that last-minute nephew who shows up late with his roommate. With Michelin tires, the holidays just seem brighter.
Get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires. Only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/06.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixel.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, when I was a kid, we were always moving.
Oh, was your dad in the Army?
No, he had a moving company.
This holiday, you know what to get someone on the go?
Corrugated boxes?
A 17-inch dual-core notebook with a gig of memory and a 120-gig hard drive.
Ah.
Just $699.99 after savings and rebate.
Wow.
Plus, CompUSA has complete gift packs.
Really?
Buy a main item like a notebook or a TV and then save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy 3 or more. There are 8 different complete gift pack categories. See CompUSA for details.
There's water on Mars. NASA says sometimes running water. CBS's Peter King.
Before and after pictures show that new gullies have formed on Mars within the past 7 years or so. NASA's Michael Meyer says that means water, and not just long ago.
Water seems to have flowed on the surface of today's Mars.
Scientist Kenneth Edgett.
It could be acidic water, it could be briny water, it could be water carrying all kinds of sediment, it could be slushy, but H2O is involved.
The pictures were taken by the Mars Global Surveyor, which has been orbiting for nearly a decade. NASA lost contact with the spacecraft last month. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Space Shuttle Discovery is scheduled to fly tomorrow night for a space station work flight. Chances are 60% right now. The weather won't let them fly. Hay producers in Kansas say they have shipped so much to Oklahoma, Texas, and Colorado because of the drought. Some Kansas barns may be empty when the season picks up again, and they need the hay too. Harley Carnes.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday pre-holiday post-Thanksgiving edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. If you're wondering what you're listening to, and you never know, there could always be a pop quiz, and who knows, and you have to know what you're listening to and who you're listening to. Lots of people listen and they don't know what they're listening to, and they don't know who I am and who, you know, but we are always in the business here of trying to expand our awareness. That is always a good thing. And helping us to do that today in the 4 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by Pulitzer Prize winning Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Golden. His new book, The Price of Admission: How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. Maybe that's the rest of us. Thursday, we're going to be joined by food commentator, NPR commentator, actually, the competition, but you want to be over here because you can be heard over here, Bonnie Wolf. She has a new book with a foreword by Scott Turow. Remember, he wrote Presumed Innocent? The book is called Talking with My Mouthful: Crab Cakes, Bundt Cakes, and Other Kitchen Stories. Lots of recipes and lots of stories about kitchens and families and food and tastes and all those things that evoke our senses when we encounter them again. And as we're going into the holiday season and trying desperately, desperately not to look like little elephants as we prance forward, eating too much and buying too much and having entirely too good a time. Well, we hope you're going to have that here on Enid Live today. And the way you can do that is to participate. It makes for a richer broadcast, fuller voices, full throttle voices, really. And you can be heard. You could have an influence on the conversation, on our thinking. And you can do that at no charge. It costs you absolutely nothing to do it. All you need is a telephone. And if you're in the 916 area code, you want to call 349-1320. And if you're not, call 866-626-1320. You can also email me, enid@kctc.com. And we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. So 1320leftchannel is one word, .com. I want to bring us up to speed on a few things. First of all, remember San Francisco, the town that is so eccentric. We love it for that, if for no other reason. They were going to put in about 5 or 6 bus shelters, scent strips that smell like chocolate chip cookies, freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. This was from the milk processors because they hoped that if your juices got stimulated smelling the chocolate chip cookies, you go home and get a glass of milk. If it were me, I'd get home and get a chocolate chip cookie. I wouldn't even go home. I get over to Mrs. Fields or whoever's got the, you know, the closest chocolate chip cookie. But in any event, there was some there was some activism about it. There were a lot of people who were against it. Why were they against it? They were against it because what if you're homeless and hungry and you don't have the wherewithal to get a chocolate chip cookie or a glass of milk, so this wouldn't be fair for you. And eventually, however, it wasn't up for very long, and for those people who found the scent of chocolate chip cookies a vast improvement over what you usually smell at those bus shelters, those scent strips have all been removed. Why have they been removed? Well, some people believe that you have allergies and smell allergies and food allergies, and it was because of the allergies that people wanted the strips removed, and I believe that they have been taken down. So there were anti-fragrance groups, there were anti-allergy groups, there were anti-obesity groups, and we don't know if the pro-cookie groups weighed in on this. So Muni asked the advertising agency that handled the shelters to remove the fragrance, and they did that yesterday. So no more chocolate chip cookie smell in those bus shelters in San Francisco, because there was a lot of partisan bitching about it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. One of the stories we covered yesterday was Andy Dick, who apparently learning nothing whatever from Kramer, or perhaps learning too much from Kramer, maybe wanting to jumpstart his own career and get some publicity. He went on stage with somebody in improv club, another comedian, whom he was heckling from the audience, and then he called the audience the N-word, and then he got off and got off the stage, and nobody even smiled. Nobody thought it was remotely funny. And so today, he's apologized for using the same racial slur that got Kramer into trouble last month. He jumped on stage during a routine by another comedian at the Improv Saturday night, used the N-word in an apparent attempt to joke about Richards. It wasn't funny. The audience didn't think it was funny, and now he's issuing an apology. He probably wants publicity. The big news today is that the Iraq Study Group has issued a report, and we'll be talking about that as we continue. If you listen to Rush Limbaugh, he calls them not the Iraq Study Group, but the Iraq Surrender Group. And he believes that any conclusions that they have come to are because they can't stand Bush and because they're against Bush's war. And he says this. And, you know, his callers believe every word he says. And I'm driving along and I'm amazed. He says this stuff. He just completely concocts it. You know, this is what I think he needs to do. This is the job he needs in the present administration before the Democrats get in there and get rooted in there. He needs to be the minister of OxyContin. That would be the best, the ambassador and the minister of OxyContin. That would be the best position that I can think of for Rush, who is not only deaf, he is tone deaf. 349-1320, from too much OxyContin. I'm not trying to make fun of him, but you have to be in so much psychological muddle and such slow form of suicide. What pain you must be in to cause yourself to go deaf because you get high on this drug. It's a legitimate conversation, and you may want to talk about it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Another miscreant, somebody that I really... I just thought he was horrible, and maybe you did too, and he wasn't fun to look at either, and that's John Bolton. Well, he has now, of course, submitted his resignation, and he's out as ambassador to the UN. But guess what? He's looking for another job. He is seeking a high-profile presence in the media. Apparently, he has signed on with a talent management firm that represents anchors, reporters, producers in news, sports, broadcasting, syndication, and entertainment, employed by broadcast and cable networks, local stations, producers, syndicators, cable and video stream internet entities. So he's looking for a job as a talking head of some sort. He's going to have to lose that mustache. He's going to have to become a little bit cuter, in my view. He's going to have to say something worthwhile instead of this ideology, this propaganda that the man has been spewing. Does he have a future as a television somebody, a pundit, a talking head, a host, maybe on Fox, but I don't even know if he's got a future on Fox. What do you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. There's big doings tonight in Sacramento. I guess you probably didn't get your invitation. I didn't get my invitation either. But Dirty Harry is going to have his day made today with his induction into the new California Hall of Fame. Harry Callahan, he's a real guy, the gun-toting, take-no-prisoners, San Francisco cop, is one of the signature characters made famous by actor, producer, and former Carmel Mayor Clint Eastwood, who is among 14 extraordinary Californians being honored today by Governor Schnorzy and First Lady Maria Shriver. And Maria Shriver was a moving force behind this museum. The other honorees, and you don't exactly have to be alive to be honored, include Ronald Reagan, environmentalist John Muir, who has been AWOL for quite some time now, Cesar Chavez, of course, United Farm Workers founder, Walt Disney, Amelia Earhart, and the Hearst and Packard families are also being inducted, including the ones who are among us, Billie Jean King, AIDS researcher David Ho, architect Frank Gehry, whose work I love a lot, astronaut Sally Ride, chef Wolfgang Puck, a writer, Alice Walker, also being ushered into the hall. So that's happening, I believe, tonight, and it's happening in Sacramento. And I guess there was pressure for this to occur, for this museum to be placed in either San Francisco or Los Angeles. But no, it's going to be here in Sacramento. And there is some little nice snide Sacramento gossip. You've heard the official accounts. This is Materin Ross. Now, here are a couple of Democratic legislative aides off-the-record reviews of Monday's legislative swearing-in ceremony up at the state capitol, and that's here. On Schnorzy's showing up to address legislators, the first such visit from a sitting governor in decades. The biggest thing about it was just how low-key it was, said somebody, in contrast to Schnorzy's imperial-sounding inauguration, where they are knocking on the door with their begging cups in hand to cadge as much money as they can, to snorkel as much money out of PG&E, Chevron, Blue Cross of California, and all these huge California corporations to put on this big dog and pony show. $50,000 is one level of contribution, which I'm sure there's absolutely no pay to play here. You give $50,000, which is bus fare for some of these companies, and you wouldn't expect anything in return, would you? No, you wouldn't. Anyway, so I have christened, if you didn't listen to our show yesterday, or actually Yiddished, the governor, calling him a schnorr. It's a great Yiddish word. There are a lot of SH Yiddish words that have made it into mainstream language. We did a little review yesterday. Schlepp is one of them. A schmooze is another one of them. There's a whole bunch, and suddenly I can't remember any of them, but if you can remember, a schmuck is another one. there are a lot more. And schnorr is a great one, and there isn't really an English equivalent. Schnorr is somebody who's always got their hand out, even if they can well afford not to have their hand out. They're just always looking, their eyeballs are roaming to be on the take. And so here's the governor who takes only a dollar salary, but they got their hands out. He said he was never going to take money from special interests, and he couldn't wait to put himself at the head of the line. So I'm calling him Schwartz and Schnorr, or for short, Schnorzy. On the governor's appearance, off-the-record comments, are you ready for this? Remember now, I have said about the governor that he's got a shade of chestnut, orange, really. Hair and makeup not necessarily found in nature. Well, it gets worse. On the governor's appearance, what people are saying at the Capitol who have just seen him, new shade of hair dye, lots more orange, and his eyebrows are the same. Any corner beauty shop knows that is a no-no. So your eyebrows and your hair color are not supposed to be the same color. They're supposed to, now in nature, are they the same color or are they different colors? I think they're different colors, and the key would be his beard, if we ever saw what it was. I'm sure it's white, but I didn't wake up with him this morning. On the overall atmosphere, the splendor was missing, the buffets were non-existent, and there was no booze. I mean, good luck getting a sandwich, let alone a cocktail. As for the new crop of legislators, this is a true freshman class. Nobody knows who they are. Nobody knows where to go. So these are some off-the-record comments about the legislative swearing-in on Monday. So John Bolton, TV star, is that going to fly? New exhibit celebrating the accomplishments of California Hall of Fame's first 13 or 14 inductees, depending on how you do the count. I want to share some health information with you that I don't think you might have known about. And that is, and I got this notice, and just this is just a heads up, and we're going to provide these from time to time. Let's say you are one of the lucky few who are insured through your employer, and you know you get a, you get better prices when you are in network. So you find out you're going to have some surgery, and you find out that your hospital is in network, and you find out that your surgeon is in network, and then when you've had the surgery, you find out you're getting all these bills from out-of-network people. Who are they? Well, it turns out these are people like your anesthesiologist, your radiologist, your ER physicians, and your pathologist. They're allowed to bill their services separate from other hospital facility charges, and these medical providers do not need to offer incentives to encourage patients to use their services because they know that the patients have no choice. So you can get, you think you're doing everything right, and in fact, you're going to get some of these big bills. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Okay, sad news, and it is a sad Francisco story. You know about the family that was lost in Oregon. Well, the mother and the two small children were rescued, but everybody was searching for the father who set off on foot through canyons in order to find help for the family, and he was found today, and he has died. The body of missing San Francisco resident James Kim was found in the southern Oregon mountains today, 11 days after his family's car became stuck on a side road in the snow, and 4 days after he ventured off to look for help. A chopper located Kim, 35, and he was an editor for CNET, in a steep canyon known as the Big Windy Creek Drainage, close to the Rogue River, where searchers had been focusing their efforts for the past several days. Arrangements were being made to remove Kim's body from the area, according to authorities. And it goes on. There are lots of side issues to this story. And one of the issues is that Oregon, because it has such a low tax rate, doesn't have a lot of services, doesn't have the same level of services that you find in California. And so I think the wife's family privately engaged a helicopter to do the search. And as a result, she and the children were found. He was not found. So you had that issue. And then you have the issue of going on the Internet to places like MapQuest, which apparently, which I am told, let them know if you Googled MapQuest or if you know you've called it up on the net, it would have said that the road that they were on was a fine road to take and a shortcut, when in fact it's completely impassable in the winter. And anybody who you know, knows that part of the country, knows that that is the case. So James Kim, the San Francisco father, has been missing for 10 or 11 days. The snow-covered mountains of Oregon has been found dead. He was found just after noon today. It was late on a cold, rainy Saturday night a week and a half ago that Kim, an internet journalist from San Francisco, apparently tried to drive his family to safety. They were stranded in the family Saab station wagon near a little used logging road in the Siskiyou National Forest in southwestern Oregon. He left his family in a desperate search for help and walked at least 2 miles. And I know that they used all the fuel they had to keep the family warm in the car until they ran out of fuel. And I believe they burned tires in order to make a fire so that people would find them. There was some optimism that he might be found alive after clothing was recovered, and searchers did distribute emergency packages of clothing and survival provisions in the hope that Kim would find one of those packages. His position in the internet community propelled the saga of the missing family into homes all over the world, and then there was a website launched by close friends. There were online reports by CNET.com where Kim was a senior editor. The successful rescue of his wife and the couple's daughters came in part through the efforts of these friends, especially an Oregon cell phone engineer who tracked 2 one-second hits to the family cell phone and helped rescuers refine their search. So in one sense, the electronic universe helped to find the wife and the two children, but using the internet, using MapQuest, for example, I'm told, or one of those internet maps where it still tells you that that's a viable road in winter when it is not, could be your downfall. You really need to check. And apparently they did go to the sheriff's office in a nearby town and were told, and given a map, and were told not to use that road. At least those are some of the preliminary reports. 349-1320-866-626-1320. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left. with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Gene. It's slow moving. We're having southbound 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road, as it were, on Wednesdays. Eastbound 47th, Howe Avenue and Northrop, we have a two-car crash. Orlando Avenue, Riverside Avenue, there's a hit and run. And another hit and run, it looks like Stockton at Orange. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320.
Doing full frontal talk radio. AM 1320. Sacramento's left channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Hello, 8.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
In movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Seatbelts, everybody.
Live, local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
No, it's not that time of year again. No, it can't be. It can't be. Tell me, pinch me. Tell me it's not here.
It's the most fattening time
time of the year. With that pumpkin pie filling and everyone swilling down eggnog and beer. It's the most fascinating time of the year. It's the lip smacking a season of awe. While you're shopping, you're cheating, impulsively eating that junk at the mall. It's the heaviest season of all. There'll be turkeys for basting and stuffing for tasting, and giblets and gravy will flow. There'll be cookies that Mom baked and a leftover fruitcake from a Christmas a long time ago. It's the scale flattening time of the year. While your diet you're blowing, there's calories going straight down to your rear. It's the scale flattening time of the year.
3:29 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about all kinds of stuff as we move into the show today. And, of course, the big news is the Iraq study report. And here it is. The panel, the Iraq study report, is calling conditions in Iraq grave and deteriorating. And here's some of the language. Let me just give you a flavor for it. It is pretty dire language. And this is from a group. Now, let me give you some of the members of the group. This is James Baker III and Lee Hamilton, who are the co-chairs. So you have a bipartisan group here. Lawrence Eagleburger, Vernon Jordan, Edwin Meese, Sandra Day O'Connor, Leon Panetta, William J. Perry, Charles S. Robb, and Alan K. Simpson. So as many Democrats as you have Republicans. And here's where here's the language that it begins with. The situation in Iraq is grave and deteriorating. There is no path that can guarantee success, but the prospects can be improved. The Iraqi people, it goes on to say, if the situation continues to deteriorate, the consequences could be severe. A slide toward chaos could trigger the collapse of Iraq's government and a humanitarian catastrophe. Neighboring countries could intervene. The U.S. should immediately launch a new diplomatic offensive. Now, it's got a bunch of recommendations, but it tells you how bad the situation is. And then they have divided the recommendations into external approach and an internal approach. And I have to tell you, it is filled. You know, I'm looking at the condensation, but it's filled with a lot of vague approaches. They don't really have a plan here. The external approach. The U.S. should immediately launch a new diplomatic offensive to build an international consensus for stability in Iraq and the region. Okay, that would be nice. The diplomatic effort should include every country that has an interest in avoiding a chaotic Iraq, including all of Iraq's neighbors. Iraq's neighbors and key states in and outside the region should form a support group to reinforce security and national reconciliation within Iraq and so on. Iran should stem the flow of arms and training to Iraq. Oh, well, that's nice. And then on the internal approach, here are some of the things that are suggested. The most important questions about Iraq's future are now the responsibility of Iraqis. The U.S. must adjust its role in Iraq to encourage the Iraqi people to take control of their own destiny. Oh, isn't that nice? Well, that's a very nice sentiment. And then it talks about how it's clear that the Iraqi government is going to need assistance from the U.S. for some time to come. I think, is that called paying guilt money? What do you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So they start out in this report, which everybody hoped would have some suggestions. And it doesn't, it's really just kind of a vague, anticlimactic, kind of nothing much. It's the Iraq Study Group report, and it starts out by talking about how dire and grave the situation is in Iraq, but it really doesn't offer, and it says it's deteriorating. So, you know, Dickey says we're winning. We need to stay the course. James Baker says we cannot stay the course. There's nothing positive about staying the course. It is simply not going to work. Everybody is saying that what we're doing now simply isn't working. Robert Gates said that in hearings this week. Everybody says that. What we think we have to do is probably be paying money, guilt money, for the next in perpetuity, at least until the Iraqis can figure it out themselves. And who knows if that's ever going to happen. 349-1320-866-626-1320. And then you have the new head of the Intelligence Committee for the House, Reyes is his name, and he would hear Nancy Pelosi liked him because he was very anti the Iraq war, but in a surprise twist in the debate over Iraq, Representative Sylvester Reyes, the soon to be chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, says he wants to see an increase of 20,000 to 30,000 U.S. troops as part of a stepped up effort to, quote, dismantle the militias. We thought that he was going to say, let's have a phased withdrawal, which is let's get out of there as fast as we can. He says we're not going to have stability in Iraq until we eliminate those militias, those private armies. We have to consider the need for additional troops to be in Iraq to take out the militias and stabilize Iraq. We certainly cannot leave Iraq and run the risk that it becomes like Afghanistan was before the 2001 invasion. Reyes also stressed that there needed to be a greater political accountability demanded of the Iraqi government. Well, they're barely functioning. They don't have electricity. I mean, the whole thing is a mess. It is way worse than we found it. You know, if we could resurrect Saddam Hussein, as I have said, give him a lot of Viagra, more hair dye, Frank Sinatra records, cuff him with an electronic monitor. Hey, somebody's got to run that country, and he was able to do it, and we are not able to do it. 349-1320-866-626-1320. And what does this do to Dickey and his position and where he's been? You know, he was the one who marched along thinking that he was in charge when really I think it was Cheney and Rummy who were in charge. And by the way, Rummy was quoted as saying recently, I don't do quagmires. Yes, he does. And he did a really big quagmire. This is a horrible quagmire that he's gotten into. He says, I don't do quagmires. You know, henny pennies, he said. He had all these little phrases that he used. What are your thoughts about what's going on with the Iraq Study Group? And then you've got the minister of OxyContin, fat boy over there across the way. He's calling it the Iraq Surrender Group. And the only reason he thinks that they are issuing this report is that they can't stand for the military to be strong and that this is a way of subverting the military from being strong. Now, you've got to wrap your head around logic like that. They cannot stand, and never mind that half of the Iraq Study Group are made up of Republicans, that they can't stand the idea of a strong military, and so they're subverting our stellar efforts in Iraq. Can you believe this? From the minister of OxyContin across the way? Can you believe that this is what, and he says this and his followers, they call up those ditto heads. Yes, Rush, that's exactly right, Rush. Mm-hmm, you've got it, Rush. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Alan in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Enid. Regarding your humanitarian ideology, do you think that if in Mexico, all of a sudden, the president of Mexico begin allowing by law basically the torture and abuse of women and killing his people if they were dissidents of his beliefs, would you feel that the United States has any responsibility if necessary, because nothing could
wait a minute
happen.
If Mexico or Canada were gassing their people, is that what you're saying, sort of like
no,
what
in other words
acted?
If they basically began Sharia law down in Mexico, would we have, should the United States step in if no resolution comes out of the UN, should we go in there and actually protect those people?
That's a great question. You know, as long as it's far away in some other region. But, you know, what they argued is they wanted to bring democracy to the region. And we hardly have democracy left in this country, so I would say good luck. I don't know. Let's ask that question, see how people respond to it, Alan. It's an interesting question. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Marjorie and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Enid. Regarding Rush Limbaugh, I saw an ad in the B about pain pills causing constipation, and OxyContin was listed. And I thought, my God, that explains Rush. He looks so constipated, and we know why. He's full of it.
Thank you, Marjorie. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Today, the Iraq Study Group summary and the whole their findings were released. It's not a thick document. It's not a skinny document. There's an executive summary that you can find on the Wall Street Journal website. And they start out by saying the situation in Iraq is grave and it's deteriorating. There's no path that can guarantee success, but the prospects cannot be improved. Dickie's running around telling everybody that the only way we can lose is to come back, that if we stay, we're going to win. That's what Dickie is saying. So suddenly, this whole panel made up of some of his old man's cronies are saying something else. I mean, he's so marginalized. Now, you had that triumvirate. You had Cheney, Rummy, and you had Dickey. All you know, really, Cheney and Rummy. Every time Dickey spoke, they were providing the words and the thinking. And now you have Rummy out of it, and Cheney's been out of it for a long time, but not in that sense. And so now you have a whole new crop of people who are saying, guess what? The emperor seems to be naked and dumb, besides. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320. And then you've got the minister of OxyContin across the way, and he says, oh, there, he's calling it the Iraq Surrender Group. Instead of the Iraq Study Group, the Iraq Surrender Group, and the reason that they are so negative is that they can't stand a strong American military. I mean, he just hauls the stuff out of his constipated self, and I am flabbergasted that you get to make it up like that and people believe you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some things are going on our streets of Sacramento. Today, northbound Cap City Freeway at H Street, we have a disabled vehicle on the right-hand side slowing things down. Westbound 50 at 59th Street, Bradshaw Road at Keeper Boulevard, E Street en route to northbound Cap City Freeway, and Wallerga Road at Antelope Road, we have a two-car crash. Stockton Boulevard is slow over there, and Mack Road, there's a two-car crash. And Calvine Road and northbound 99, nice and slow as well, and congested 50 right there by the Octopus when you get back up on Cap City Freeway. Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Oh, come.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Yeah. New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate. It's a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Before we go any farther, I want to let you know that we're going to be giving away some tickets and to a movie. It is an Academy Award winning documentary, made by Academy Award winning documentary filmmakers Barbara Kopple and Cecilia Peck. Sorry, and it chronicles the lives of the Dixie Chicks from 2003 to the start of their 2006 tour. And remember now, they are the ones who spoke out. And they were fearless in speaking out. And so here are the Dixie Chicks. A documentary has been made about their lives during that time. And the name of the documentary is Shut Up and Sing. And there's an engagement. The run of the engagement is at the Century Theaters in Sacramento and in Roseville. And we are giving away, a pass that will entitle two people to get in. So two of those passes that will entitle two people to go. And we will do that as we continue somewhere in the broadcast. So we have two of those passes. Four people are going to be able to go. And it sounds like a really wonderful film. And I'm going to tell you something. The Dixie Chicks, I have to admire what they did because they very nearly were sunk. Their career was very nearly sunk by that big radio giant where the minister of OxyContin is working just because everybody was so right-wing and any kind of criticism of Dickie and the war could really sink your career, and it nearly sunk theirs, but they have come back to laugh about it. And look at Dickie's career, kind of lower than snake poop in a wheel rut, I'd like to say. Joe in Elk Grove, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joe.
Enid.
Welcome. What's on your mind?
Enid?
Yes.
With the Baker Report out now, and it's clear that Rumsfeld and the Bush administration has clearly been lying. They've denied that there was no civil war. They've denied that everything was under control. Now, and also watching the Bush channel, for sure, they always put a good spin on it, right, that there was nothing going on and we're in control. Well, now they're saying it's out of control. I don't have a handle on it. Now, can we legally say, or can we all get together and say the president is a liar? Can we all agree that he's been lying?
You know what they've been saying? Here's the way they put it, that the Baker faction represents the, quote, realists. And the rest of them are in dreamland, and they are lying, and they are manipulating, and they do know what's going on. But can we call him a liar? Okay, let's do that. That's all right with me.
Everyone used to be outraged because they said we're disrespecting the president. Well, I was trained and brought up to say you call a liar a liar. So now can we just say he's a liar and move on. Democrats, Republicans, independents, and indifferent. Can we all say that he's a liar?
We can, but we got to figure out a funnier way to phrase it. Okay, we can do that, Joe. And I thank you for suggesting it. What's a funnier way to phrase it? If we're making Rush the minister of OxyContin, what do we make Dickey? The minister of disingenuous, give me a title besides the ministry of lies. There's got to be something that we can have a good laugh, over. Joanne and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Joanne.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about how I've been a substitute teacher and how I listen to Reed Howard Zinn constantly. How you can see the Iraq war and everything that's happened throughout history.
Wait. Joe, I'm having a hard time hearing you. It's really muffled. So start over again. What are you saying?
I'm a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing a lot of Howard Zinn lately. And it's just funny how you can see parallels between everything that's happened throughout American history. And how this is the privatization of everything, and I wish I had more points. I was thinking of them as you picked up.
Well, what is your point? What was your point about Bush and Iraq?
Iraq is just how you can see throughout the past, say, 200-300 years, is how history is repeating itself in the war. The same issues that are coming about, the privatizing of Indian removal in the 1800s, and how we're privatizing the removal of all the stuff in Iraq right now, and
all right.
Contracting a business and...
Well, you know, here's a story that I haven't talked about. Thank you for the call. We have 100,000 contractors in Iraq. Do you know that? We have 100,000 contractors. I don't know how many troops we have. Not a whole lot more than that. Maybe 130,000, 150,000 troops. But we have about as many contractors as we do troops. And people are being asked who work in the civil service. They are being asked to go over and help out for several months at a time going to Iraq. Are you a federal government employee? You've probably then been asked. Asked more than once to help the mighty Iraq rebuilding effort by volunteering to fill a post over there for a few months. But apparently people have not exactly been stepping up to the plate. Well, there's a mystery. I wonder why that is. So you civil servants might not have a choice in the matter. If the Iraq study group gets its way, from the final report, recommendation number 74 reads, in the short term, if not enough civilians volunteer to fill key positions in Iraq, civilian agencies must fill those positions with directed assignments. Steps should be taken to mitigate familial or financial hardships posed by directed assignments, including tax exclusions similar to those authorized for U.S. military personnel serving in Iraq. So in other words, if you don't volunteer to go, you're going to be directed to, you're going to be drafted. We don't have a draft in the military, but we do have a draft in terms of bureaucrats or federal government employees going. So the government might force you, a lanyard-swinging desk jockey, to serve in the fiery chaos of a faraway land, away from family, friends, at risk of death. And you know what you get for it? Here's your silver lining. You get a tax break. That's what you get for it. You're going to get a tax break. Meanwhile, the IRS has mistakenly given out $200 million in refunds, and it can't even track it. And if you got one of those, it's probably never going to know that you got one, and you're never going to have to give it back. But that speaks to the competency level of this government. So you could be drafted as a federal, an employee of the federal government, if there are not enough volunteers to fill these positions in Iraq, you could be drafted, and your silver lining, you're going to be risking death, chaos, dismemberment. Remember, you don't know what's going on there. You don't know who's your friend and who is your enemy, and what you get is a measly little tax break. 349-1320. These people are crazy. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left.
Ooh,
with Lisa West.
Yes, lots of things going on our roadways on this, well, hump day, as it were. 352 East Street en route to northbound Cap City Freeway. And pretty much all of Cap City Freeway, unless someone can give me a better update, because that's what I see. It's nice and thick going west and southbound I-5 just north of Q Street. We have a hit and run over there. Fair Oaks Boulevard at Watt Avenue, and it looks like eastbound 50 just east of Zinfandel Drive. Well, our weather tonight, we're going to see lows right around 33. Still looking pretty good, though. Coming up tomorrow, right around 63. Oh, my goodness. It's a December heat wave. I'm loving it. However, we are going to see some showers and precipitation on through the weekend. And by Sunday, our lows will be right around 44. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they've been.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Jump, play, we're gonna rock tonight. Got my ring to rip up and we're ready for flight. Let's head on the party, you know Santa's the guy. Love to hear the music blasting up to the sky. Head up on the mistletoe, my baby and I. It's Christmas and I'm really getting in the mood. Got my Christmas creepers and a couple of tats. Tonight I'm celebrating with the kitties and cats. Swinging people, grab your coats and your hats. Sam is gonna show you where the party is at. I'm cool as any storm and get your mittens on that. It's Christmas and I'm really getting in the mood.
Uh-huh, in the mood. 356 for a discussion about the Iraq Study Group, or as the Minister of OxyContin across the way calls it, the Iraq Surrender Group. Any thoughts about what you are hearing and what we have been discussing? If you are not, we have about 100,000 volunteer or contractors now in Iraq. 100,000 contractors in Iraq trying to snore out as much money as they can in these no-bid contracts, you know, risking their lives to do it. But the federal government is not able to get enough people to volunteer to go into Iraq to staff various, to do the bureaucratic functions that have to be done in that country because it's dangerous. And the only thing they're offering those people is maybe a little bit of a tax break. Can you believe it? Shirley and Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
My husband said that he's a Vietnam vet and he volunteers to go to Iraq as long as Jenna and Barbara go. And since Don Rumsfeld doesn't have anything to do right now, he may as well go with them.
Well, he could. He's a rich man, and he could salt around his wisdom.
He could probably use the tax break.
He could use that tax break, and guess what?
Tax break.
He says, I don't do quagmire, so he can go in there and not do a quagmire.
There you go.
All right, Shirley. What a great idea. Thanks. 349-1320, Mike and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
Hey, you were asking if anyone had any suggestions for a nickname for the president based on his inability to tell the truth.
Yes. Now, you know the caller who called.
Study group offers its plan.
Our ship of state has hit rough waters. It must now chart a new way forward.
A sad end to the search in southern Oregon.
12:03 hours today, the body of James Kim was located down in the Big Windy Creek.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. There are 79 specific recommendations, and they come with a warning that Iraq could slide toward chaos.
The blunt assessment of this prestigious bipartisan group, the president's strategy in Iraq, is not working.
Situation in Iraq is grave and deteriorating.
Co-chair Lee Hamilton, who says the unanimous suggestion is to threaten to cut off aid to Iraq if the government there doesn't get its house in order, to shift American forces to the duty of training and helping the Iraqi military, and start getting U.S. combat forces out by early 2008.
All U.S. combat brigades not necessary for force protection could be out of Iraq.
The panel, co-chaired by James Baker, also suggests much more effort on diplomacy throughout the Middle East, including sitting down with Iran and Syria.
You talk to your enemies, not just your friends.
The group said Iraq is not lost, but even if all its suggestions are followed, there's no guarantee it won't be. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where it's taking a while to digest all the recommendations, but President Bush thinks the report is worth the effort.
And there's some very good ideas in there. Not all of us around the table agree with every idea, but we do agree that it shows that bipartisan consensus on important issues is possible.
While he hasn't committed to accept all or any of the recommendations, Mr. Bush says the report will help fashion a new way forward in Iraq. But he also has reviews of Iraq policy coming from the Pentagon, the State Department, and his National Security Council. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The release of the report coincides with more bad news from Iraq.
We have had 10 casualties in 4 separate events today. The casualty announcements will follow when it is appropriate, and we are going through the family notification process now.
Lieutenant Colonel Chris Garver is a U.S. military spokesman in Baghdad. Now this.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixel.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, when I was a kid, we were always moving.
Oh, was your dad in the Army?
No, he had a moving company.
This holiday, you know what to get someone on the go?
Corrugated boxes?
A 17-inch dual-core notebook with a gig of memory and a 120-gig hard drive.
Ah.
Just $699.99 after savings and rebate.
Wow.
Plus, CompUSA has complete gift packs.
Really?
Buy a main item like a notebook or a TV and then save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more. There are 8 different complete gift pack categories. See CompUSA for details.
Will you be watching when the Suns make us wonder if scoring 200 is so impossible? When we see a battle at the Staples Center with no visiting team? When the Bulls prove that younger is just another word for hungrier? Will you be watching when the Spurs show us 12 men can play with one heart? Will you be watching when?
Will you be watching when? The NBA on ESPN. It's a battle in the East as Iverson and the Sixers take on Big Ben and the Bulls. Tonight at 9 Eastern on ESPN.
James Kim's body was found today in a creek that runs through Oregon's Klamath Mountains. Just hours earlier, hopes were raised when searchers found more pieces of clothing, leading them to believe that Kim had left the trail. But CBS News correspondent John Blackstone says that may have been days ago.
Clearly, hope was running low for Kim. The nights are very cold here, below freezing, well into the 20s. He'd gone for close to 2 weeks without food, so the odds were long, but after searchers here had found his wife and daughters safe, they were certainly hoping they would have another miracle and find James Kim safe.
Kim was 35. He and his family were heading home to San Francisco after a Thanksgiving trip when they took a wrong turn in a remote area and their car got stuck in deep snow. A done deal in the Senate.
On the confirmation of Robert M. Gates of Texas to be Secretary of Defense, the ayes are 95, the nays are 2. And the nomination is confirmed.
Donald Rumsfeld will remain in the job till the 18th when Gates is sworn in. British police say they're treating the death of former Russian spy Alexander Litvinenko as a murder. He died 2 weeks ago after being poisoned with radioactive polonium-210. Scotland Yard says it doesn't know the motive or who might be responsible. The House today approved the Combating Autism Act.
This is a wonderful day for the autism community.
Lee Grossman of the Autism Society of America.
First and foremost, what this does is establish in Congress and with the administration autism being a priority.
The measure directs the Department of Health and Human Services to spend another $860 million on autism research through 2011. You're listening to the CBS World.
Minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. This is Hour 2. I am yours from 3 to 7 right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And Monday through Friday, and let me give you the drill. It's always toll-free. If you're in the 916 area code, it's 349-1320. And if you're not, it's 866-626-1320. We stream live, 1320, leftchannel.com. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. And joining us in this segment is Daniel Golden. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Wall Street Journal. His new book, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. Daniel Golden, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Enid.
Talk to me about who gets left outside and how does America's ruling class buy its way into elite colleges? Is it as obvious as we'll donate a lot of money, our kids aren't too smart, their SATs aren't so wonderful, but we have a lot of money that we will make available to the school if you admit them? Is that the way it works?
Well, that's what it amounts to, though they don't usually put it that crudely. My book is a kind of expose of how college admissions really works and as against how colleges say it works. And in reality, there are a lot of slots at elite colleges that are reserved for privileged groups, such as children of alumni, children of non-alumni who are expected to be big donors, and athletes who play sports that are only played in prep schools, like squash or crew or horseback riding or polo. And I group these together and call them the preferences of privilege. And the way these work is that although colleges say they have a firewall between fundraising and admissions, What actually happens is that the fundraising office has its eye on a certain number of applicants whose parents are influential alumni or corporate tycoons or Hollywood celebrities who could be important in providing money or visibility. And they forward these names to the admissions office, and they get flagged for special attention and admission, even if, you know, they're nowhere near the normal qualifications for that university.
Okay, so give me an example of how this works. So you have a kid of a family, and how do you let them know? If you're a quiet zillionaire and they don't know that you're as rich as you are, how do you let them know that you're in this category reserved for the astronomically gifted and you could benefit the university? How is that done?
Well, not too many billionaires are that quiet about this, but what they often do is they might hire a independent college counselor who then might make a quiet call to the fundraising office at the university and say, you know, I'm representing the family of so-and-so. If the family has a track record of philanthropy to educational institutions, and if the child's admitted, I think you can expect them to be very generous. The fundraising office then passes the word to the admissions office. Or they may know a trustee or a department chairman or somebody else of importance at the university where they can let them know. I mean, they don't usually call the admissions office directly and just say, let my kid in, I'll give this amount of money. That's considered impolite. But through these sort of liaisons, they do it. Behind the scenes at many universities, in my book I describe two of these people, one at Duke and one at Brown, they have sort of administrators who combine the functions of fundraising and admissions. They have their eye on potential donors. They go see these donors and ask them for money, and they also facilitate the admission of the children at the same time.
Wouldn't you call this a conflict of interest? I mean, in a newspaper, it's that firewall that you keep between opinion and reporting, and advertising and reporting. But in the university, people can be both fundraisers and involved in admissions at the same time, and nobody thinks that's odd?
Well, it would be thought odd if people knew about it, which is why they didn't acknowledge it until I started my reporting. I mean, you never hear colleges say at college night, oh, by the way, we give preference to the children of people who are going to give us a lot of money, and if you're not in that category, your kid's chance of getting in are not as good as you think. So they don't acknowledge it, but, you know, my reporting has revealed it, and in my book, you know, I name a lot of names.
Tell us some names, because I see some of the Bush kids are in here. These are Lauren Bush. Talk to me about some of the people that we've heard about.
Yeah, I mean, I go through how Lauren Bush, the president's niece, was admitted to Princeton, even though she applied a month after the deadline, how Senate Majority Leader, outgoing Majority Leader Bill Frist, his son was admitted to Princeton, even though Princeton's admissions office gave him the lowest ranking on its academic scale, but his father is a Princeton alum, a former trustee. The family had given Princeton $25 million for a campus center. I describe how Michael Ovitz, the Hollywood agent, his son was admitted to Brown on a conditional basis, not usually extended to most students, even though he was quite below Brown's usual standards. And in return, later on, his son didn't stay at Brown. He left quickly. But Mr. Ovitz then hosted a bunch of events at Brown with Dustin Hoffman and Martin Scorsese and other A-list clients. So Brown got something out of lowering its standards for his son. Many names like that. I go through Al Gore's family. He's a Harvard alum. All four of his kids went to Harvard. The youngest, the boy, was not that strong a candidate, and so on. It's very systematic. It's very frequent, much more so than anybody would have you believe.
And what happens when these kids who are not all that qualified are admitted? What becomes of them? Do they perk up and start to perform? Do they leave early like Ovitz's son did? Do they barely graduate? What typically occurs? Is there a typical occurrence?
Yeah, I studied how well they do in college, the children of powerful alumni and big donors. Gradually, you know, generally at schools like Harvard or Stanford or Duke, the vast majority of students graduate, and so do these kids, but they don't generally distinguish themselves. They graduate with honors at a lower rate than the average student. Their grade point averages tend to be a little bit lower, which might be because, they aren't a strong candidate. It also might be because coming from families of privilege, they don't feel they need to work that hard. But, you know, they don't generally come out as the top scholars or achievers in their classes.
What is the correlation? Do you know the answer to this? What is the correlation between top grades and achievement later? There are people who drop out, who don't do so well. Peter Jennings, I just think of him. I think he was a high school dropout, but he became successful. A lot of people don't finish, and a lot of people have great grades, but they really never contribute very much, or they don't live up to that promise. Do you have any sense of the correlation between being a top student and what you achieve later in life?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't really seen a study on it. I mean, you're right. There are a lot of people who drop out of college and then become important sort of entrepreneurs or successful individuals. Like Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard after his freshman year, for example. You know, a century or two ago, Henry David Thoreau dropped out of Harvard and wrote Walden. But these people are generally sort of driven people who don't stay in college because they're so fixed on their goal that college gets in the way. That's not generally true of these children of the very rich. They're sort of struggling through college through a lack of motivation or a lack of ability, not a burning desire to achieve a particular goal that might not be what they're studying in class.
My guest is Daniel Golden. His new book, The Price of Admission, he's a Pulitzer Prize-winning Wall Street Journal reporter. What is happening in California? Talk to me about Stanford. What is happening at Stanford?
Well, Stanford is very similar to the other elite colleges I've mentioned. In my book, I go through one instance of a Robert Bass, a big oil tycoon from Texas. He was chairman of the board at Stanford. I think he's still a trustee there. While he was in 1998, Stanford admitted his daughter, Margaret, and she was not a particularly strong student, and yet she was the only one admitted of the 9 applicants from her prep school. It seemed to me to be an example of favoritism. His other 3 kids went to Stanford again, as well as Harvard and Duke. He's made multi-million dollar contributions to all 3 institutions. So Stanford has the same pattern as other top universities of favoring children of big donors like Mr. Bass, children of alumni. Interestingly, it recently started a women's squash team to comply with Title IX rules of gender balance in athletics. And one of the arguments I make in my book is that Title IX has actually increased the number of wealthy students at these colleges because to offset men's football, colleges have started women's teams in sports like crew, horseback riding, and at Stanford, squash. So at the same time, a lot of these schools are cutting more working-class men's sports like wrestling or track and field. And so Title IX has provided gender equity in the sense that there's more female athletes, but it's worsened the socioeconomic disparities at these top colleges between the wealthy and the poor. And, you know, the overall picture is that at a place like Stanford or Harvard or Duke or Princeton or Yale, you know, the vast majority of students, probably close to 3/4, come from the top 1/4 of families in income, and only maybe 5 to 10% come from the bottom 1/4 of families in income. So these have become overwhelmingly schools for the privileged.
Dan, how much does it cost to go to Stanford now? Just tuition without the room and board.
My guess would be it's in the, you know, 40,000 to 45,000 range.
And tuition and room and board would add what, another 20,000 to it or 10?
I don't have an exact number. That figure that you normally hear bandied about for these schools, 45,000. I'm not sure if it includes room and board or not.
Okay, so it's an astronomical amount of money.
Yes.
There's a lot of competition to get into these top schools. A lot of them are still relying on SAT, so you're further funneled, and then you could be very well qualified, but your slot could be taken by somebody who's not necessarily as qualified as you, but whose family had lots more money. So the rest of us are really what can we do? I mean, how do we get our kids into good schools? And what does a good school add? The degree from a top school, what does that add to your to what you make over a working career? Is there any kind of research on that? Any kind of a figure at the top of your head?
These are all good questions. I mean, you're right, first of all. I mean, one problem is that these schools have not increased their student body size very much for decades. So they just become, as more and more kids apply, they just become more and more selective. So, you know, 30 years ago, maybe a Stanford or a Harvard might have taken 20 or 30% of their applicants. Now they take 10%. So for every kid of wealth with marginal credentials that they accept, they're turning down 8 or 10 other kids who may have perfect SAT scores or be valedictorians. I mean, that's one reason why when you hear colleges boast, oh, you know, we're so incredibly selective and prestigious, we turn down a lot of kids with 1600s and valedictorians, you have to take that with a grain of salt. I mean, they could take more of these kids who are outstanding if they weren't reserving so many slots for their children or their alumni and donors. So there's a lot of kids left by the wayside, and I guess what we can do about it is, for one thing, is to sort of broaden our horizons and not have, you know, the heart set on just a Stanford or a Harvard, but realize that there's many more good schools out there, and maybe there's one that's a better match for your kid or mine. I mean, it's difficult. There's been efforts at a political solution and efforts to eliminate these preferences or cut them back. The trouble is that politicians benefit from them, too. I mean, there's a lot of senators and congressmen whose kids are going, like Senator Frist, whose kids are going to the father's alma mater. And often,
well, they want to grow up to learn to be able to diagnose the nearly comatose by videotape.
Right, so they, I don't know if they can teach
it's the Schiavo, it's the Schiavo maneuver that they're not teaching yet in medical schools, but I'm sure they're about to.
Yeah, and so another thing that happens is that colleges, you'll find a senator or a congressman who will spearhead an effort to get earmarked funding for a particular university, which is funding for a laboratory or a building, and the amount of earmarked funding for colleges has risen, you know, skyrocketed. And then they lead this battle for funding, and then, boom, a few years later, you see that their kids are going to that college or the kids of a key constituent or staff member. So as to how much it helps them in future, I think it helps these kids of privilege for a number of reasons. I mean, one is because they're not that strong candidates, obviously they wouldn't have got in without this boost. And often once they get to these schools, there's networks for them. You know, there's sort of insiders and outsiders at a lot of these schools. And the insider kids, they're in the eating clubs or the finals clubs or the skull and bones, like both George Bush and John Kerry, you know, both legacies were, mm-hmm. were at Yale. And they make the networks that will elevate them into big money-generating, high-income jobs later in life, which, you know, on their own credentials, they might not be able to have. And otherwise, in America, family money splits up over time, you know, because we don't have what they call primogeniture in this country, where the firstborn takes all the money. Instead, it's divided among all the kids and then among all the grandkids and so on. So family fortunes would fritter away, except for the fact that these kids who may not be that strong or that motivated, they get to go to the best colleges and then network into lucrative positions, and so they replenish the fortune at every generation. And the result is you have this kind of continuing aristocracy rather than opportunities given to more talented but less connected people to rise up throughout society.
Well, this is all intriguing to me because there's been a vibrant discussion about affirmative action. And this is really affirmative action for the rich, isn't it?
That's right, and there's many more students at these schools who qualified, you know, who got special consideration through affirmative action for the rich than there are through straight affirmative action. I mean, at most.
So why aren't people screaming about the affirmative action for the rich? Is it that it's been so until you really did it brought it, you know, made it a more public issue? I think maybe a lot of people weren't as aware of it. Is that possible?
Yeah, the scope was not as well known, and as I said, there's been very few efforts in Washington to do anything about it because politicians benefit. Once in a while, you get sort of a populist politician who went to a state school who will get upset about it. I mean, Bob Dole 15 years ago was screaming about legacy preference, and you know, he went to the University of Kansas, I think. John Edwards went to North Carolina State, and you know, he denounced legacy preference in his campaign. But you know, all the polls show that if you bring this issue before the public, they're overwhelmingly against these preferences. They want an even playing field. But you know, there doesn't seem to be anything to be done about it politically. And the only time things are done is when affirmative action is eliminated. You know, for example, in California, affirmative action was eliminated by a referendum in the 1990s. And then the University of California then dropped legacy preference for, I think it was for out-of-state children of out-of-state alumni.
What about in-state alumni? And for those of you, legacies means that your parents or, you know, close relatives went to the university and you're a legacy.
That's right. They're alumni children. So University of California dropped that alumni child preference for children of out-of-state alumni because they didn't want to have a preference that favored whites. Obviously, the vast majority of their alumni children applying were white, when they didn't have affirmative action for minorities. And a few other states that happened, too, that in Texas, I think Texas A&M dropped legacy preference after dropping affirmative action. But in general, whenever in states where there has not been an effort to eliminate affirmative action, a successful effort, all these other preferences go on unimpeded.
So at the University of California, you and I were talking earlier, you said they're relatively clean, right?
That's my impression. I didn't look at them that closely, but as I say, they no longer have legacy preference, which is a preference for alumni children. And
well, you said out of state. What about in-state legacy preference? Is there a legacy preference for in-state students?
I don't think so, because I think that there's just the general preference for in-state students. And what they were doing was treating children of alumni who lived out of state as if they were in-state applicants.
Oh, I see. So they got bumped up to a higher position.
That's right, because it's easier to get in from in-state than out of state. And I don't think they have a lot of preference for children of donors, but there I'm really speaking through my hat because I didn't study them closely. You know, at a lot of the state universities, I know this to be true at, for example, the University of Virginia, they may not give as much preference to children of donors, but they may give more to children of legislators who have influence over the university's budget. So I wouldn't be surprised to find that at some state schools in California.
What happens when you confront the admissions office of these schools? If they're private schools, what do they say? You know, tough, who cares? It's none of your business. We need the money. You know, we don't want to exist on it. You know, academe, the place where you always have idealized that the right things happen, really is a hotbed of a lot of activity that you don't want to see going on in the sunlight. But what happens when admissions offices, universities, colleges are confronted with exactly what you're reporting about?
Well, if you put them against the wall, you know, force truth serum down their throat or something like that, they will say, yes, you're right, we do have these preferences, but we need them to raise money. You know, without them, admissions in this country is actually Caltech. They don't give preference to children of alumni, even to children of their own faculty. They don't give preference to children of donors. Caltech has a different admission system than most places. Most places, they do admissions with sort of professional admission staff, and at Caltech, the faculty play a huge role, and they simply look at the quality of the applicant, and that's it. And so, you know, and yet Caltech has raised plenty of money. You know, its endowment is over $1 billion, and their biggest gift was $600 million from Gordon Moore, the founder of
Intel.
And, you know, they didn't let in his kids or anything like that. He got no admissions quid pro quo. Instead, they named an asteroid after him. And he was really pleased by that. It's kind of an example of creative fundraising that, but they have a whole different philosophy of fundraising. They don't go to their alumni and say, you know, your kids are getting close to college age, you should think about giving, and they don't hit them up at reunions when they've had a few drinks. I mean, that's the way the Ivy League does it.
Uh-huh.
But at Caltech, they'll go to somebody and say, look, we have a great science program in this or that field, and it's on the cutting edge, and, you know, we need your contribution to keep us competitive worldwide or keep us ahead, and it'll probably benefit your business or your industry in the long run. And that's how they raise their money, through the sheer excellence of their scientific endeavor. So it can be done, but that's the excuse you hear from all the other colleges. That's what we need to raise money.
My guest is Daniel Golden. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for The Wall Street Journal. His new book, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. So given that this is what's happening at the fancy schools, how do we recruit bright but disadvantaged kids?
Well, that is a problem. I mean, a lot of the elite colleges have announced efforts where tuition is free for low-income, you know, students they admit from low-income families. At Harvard, for example, if your family makes under $60,000 and you're admitted, you can go for free. But the big problem there is that there's not that many slots available because so many are reserved for children of privilege. So the low-income students you admit, they're taking essentially places from the middle-class kids. And they're pitting those two social classes against each other. So it's really not a permanent solution to just say, you know, we'll make it less expensive for low-income students to come here. They've got to couple that with eliminating or restricting some of these preferences to open up the slots they need. Otherwise, they just won't admit a lot more poor kids.
Where are you on the issue of affirmative action? Is that a good thing for the society? Is that not a good thing? A lot when people are given the chance to vote on it, they don't like it. not realizing that it's been going on for a zillion years with the very rich. But what are your thoughts about affirmative action? Has the moment passed? Ward Connolly is always on the warpath. He's just been in Michigan. My school was Michigan. It was the target of a lawsuit. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's a tough issue. I mean, obviously, it's better public policy than affirmative action for the rich because, you know, most of the beneficiaries of affirmative action are not rich, at least not at that level. But it does have some problems. I mean, it is hard to justify sometimes admitting, say, an upper-middle-class minority from a prep school over a, you know, poor white kid from a housing project or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that the best thing... I mean, the University of California has it close to right, I think, in that they have this system of life challenges where they try and look at each applicant individually and say what is their disadvantage. I mean, that kind of makes sense to me. You know, you want to level the playing field so that kids with tremendous potential who haven't had a chance to fully fulfill it because they they come from poverty, maybe they've had to move a lot, maybe they've had illness, maybe they attend a really bad high school. These kids, there's got to be some way of, you know, you'd like to identify these kids and try and project, well, what can they do given a good college education? You know, will they? Is there potential there waiting to be unlocked? So I think, you know, trying to assess disadvantage without focusing just, you know, without focusing just on race, I think the University of California has it close to right. I mean, but in some cases, race can be a factor. So it's too bad that California, you know, the voters ruled it out in that sense, because if somebody's poor, it's probably even harder to be poor and minority in this society than poor and white. So, and they're not allowed to consider that. So if you had a system where they could consider any disadvantage that a student had and try and weigh the impact of that, then I think
to consider the whole student.
You know, then I think that would be beneficial if you leveled the playing field.
I want to jump in here because one of the things that troubles me a lot is the branding and the credentialing in the society. So you you know, the branding that goes on when you go to an elite school, you may be getting a top quality education, and maybe you're not getting such a top quality education. Maybe you are. I mean, theoretically you are if you go to Harvard, one of the Ivies, or Stanford. At the same time, you can go to a good state school and you can get a very top quality education or not. Partly it depends on what you do with it. Partly the thing that the SATs, and I've always thought the SATs, you know, way too much reliance on the SATs. If you're really creative, I'm not so sure it's reflected in the SATs. But we are a society that has relied more on branding because we're so marketing oriented and credentialing. And the people who earn these credentials and have graduated from these brand name institutions may not be, may be rather inferior in what they can deliver.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that you're right. You don't have to, going to Harvard or Yale or Stanford doesn't necessarily give you a better education, particularly undergraduate, than going to a less well-known school that might have smaller classes or younger faculty who are very promising, even though they're not as well-known, and those kind of advantages. In fact, a lot of times these schools have achieved their reputation through what they do on the graduate level. You know, Harvard and Yale, I mean, they have tremendous graduate programs and tremendous scientific and humanities achievements at that level, but does it necessarily filter down to the undergraduate education? I'm not sure. So you've got to kind of separate the education from the prestige. I mean, I'm not sure that the education's any better at these schools, and I think...
I'm not sure either.
You know,
but what happens is these kids graduate and the universe you know, gives them the a far greater benefit of the doubt.
They are endowed
with that kind of nimbus of being a graduate of a top school, whether or not they live up to it or whether or not they really deserve that kind of you know, but when it comes to jobs and a lot of people competing for a job after graduation, the Harvard grad probably has a leg up. And you are a Harvard grad, so you might know about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of studies on both sides of the question as to how much a Harvard or a Stanford or a Yale degree benefits you. I mean, my sense is it probably does benefit a little bit, and the people who say it didn't probably went to those colleges and don't want to admit it. But I don't, you know, even if it's just a small advantage, why should it go to children of the wealthy who don't really deserve it?
Go ahead.
And, you know, so that... I think different schools have sort of different clout in different ways. I mean, one of my chapters is about Notre Dame and the tremendous number of alumni children it has there. Almost a quarter of the student body are alumni children, and Notre Dame gives them a break. And, you know, if you're Catholic and want to go into business in the Midwest, you know, it certainly helps an awful lot to go to Notre Dame. So it's a different.
I grew up about 35 miles from Notre Dame, so I know exactly what you're talking about. All right,
yeah, and they have a huge active network of alumni.
Forget game day. I mean, you cannot. There's not a hotel room to be had on game day. People are building condominiums so that when the games happen, they can sneak into town for the weekend and they're not sleeping in the park.
Definitely. But, you know, as a Harvard graduate myself, it didn't really do me any good in the sense that I went to work after college for a newspaper at a city in western Massachusetts, in Springfield, Massachusetts, and they were very suspicious of anybody coming from Harvard. It was like, why would somebody who went to Harvard want to come work for us? And I almost had to work twice as hard. In fact, I didn't really prove myself that I wasn't sort of a spoiled Harvard type until there was an election day, and back in those days they had paper ballots, and I had to work all night without going to sleep, and they sent me out to this little town at 3 in the morning to collect the paper ballots. And when I did that and came back and wrote a story about it at 4 in the morning, they figured, well, he must be all right even if he did go to Harvard.
You successfully passed your hazing. You were Ginger Rogers. You had to do everything that Fred Astaire did, only you had to do it backwards in high heels and at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I never thought of it that way, but I guess I'll accept the comparison.
I'm going to ask you one question, babe. We're going to have to then say goodbye to each other. But very quickly, supposing one of these elite schools admits somebody on the basis of a promise or a pledge or a promise of a large donation, and that donation never materialized, they throw the kid out?
No, I don't think they would do that because they would still be hoping. You know, it's not a short-term thing. They'll be working them and working them. They'll admit the next kid. You know, a lot of these, they admit the entire family, so they'll take a sibling. It's like, you know, if you don't tip a waiter, they'll just keep working harder and harder. So they hope, and a lot of times the money doesn't materialize until the kid graduates because the parents want to wait and see, is he having a good time, will he graduate? And then after graduation, a year or two later, comes the building or the faculty chair or whatever.
Daniel Golden, it has been a great pleasure to talk with you today. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for The Wall Street Journal. His new book, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Dina.
You're welcome. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow-moving traffic southbound I-5 just north of Q Street, southbound I-5, and northbound Cap City Freeway at H Street. All disabled vehicles, and it looks like a two-car crash. Now, we are slow-moving and very congested northbound Cap City Freeway all the way up to B Street, eastbound 50 from Zinfandel. There's a disabled vehicle. It looks like that is what's slowing things down. And coming back southbound I-5 just past J Street. From there on, I believe it's pretty thick. So we will we'll see. We'll give you a better update here in just a little bit. Meanwhile, Enid Live will continue at 4:35 and at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free.
Really?
Call her now at 349-1320.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Scott and Sim.
Somebody has called him the end.
That's it.
It's before that moment, and then there's everything after that moment.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I remember a good old boy truck drives by, and
Carl had a really brave boy.
And, oh, of course. So they yell, FF.
Effing.
F-U. Yeah, right. Friend I'm with is like, okay, I started running after their truck and say,
what? There's an angry gay man chasing me.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
4:37 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, Monday through Fridays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And if you're just joining us, you missed a really wonderful conversation. I like what Daniel Golden had to say, and his book is really worth looking at. It's called The Price of Admission. I've seen excerpts all over the place, and it's been widely quoted, and it got Michael Ovitz into a little soup, and he mentions names and talks about celebrities. And if you're in a position where you're trying to get your kid into a good school or any school, look at what you're up against. You have kind of competition. I think a lot of people didn't realize that affirmative action for the rich has been going on for decades and decades and decades. If you were just joining us, we have been talking about a lot of things, so let me sort of give you a rough idea of where we've been. We started talking about Governor Schnortzy, who, it turns out, some snide comments from the Capitol on the swearing-in on Monday. Turns out he's got a new shade of hair dye and probably makeup to match, and his eyebrows and his hair match, which I don't think happens in nature. So we were talking about that a little bit. We were also talking about the tragic case of the San Francisco CNET editor who was finally found, and his body was found. So he was found dead in that canyon. He had gone to get help for his wife and two children, and he was dogged in doing that. And it turns out that Oregon doesn't have that much in the way of resources, and some of the agencies don't talk to each other the way we do in California, and they're not as highly taxed in Oregon, and so therefore they don't have as many services. And I believe it was a private helicopter that was engaged by the wife's family and was successful in finding her and the children. But also there were a network of people, because the husband was a CNET editor. There was a whole online community that tried to help, and one of the community members was able, on the basis of just a couple of beeps to the family's cell phone, was able to kind of more isolate where they were, able to figure that out. At the same time, people have talked about how if you go to MapQuest or some of these other online mapping services, they will tell you that the road that the Kim family took to get to where they were going is completely impassable in winter. Well, they won't tell you that. It is completely impassable in winter, but they will tell you that it's a viable shortcut. They don't tell you you should just stay away from there. The locals know. And apparently the Kim family had gone to, some sheriff's department in a nearby town and were instructed, don't take that road because it's not passable. It's funny, you know, when you are in the internet community, when you rely, and more people are relying on the internet, and they often do not question. I have to tell you a story today. I was I'm meeting a friend for dinner, and figuring out where is the restaurant, and so he said, I'll just go online and I'll find it, and I went on in the phone book, and I found it way faster than he did. And I started laughing. I said, you know, sometimes the old-fashioned way is an easier way to get the information that you want. And yeah, he was still waiting for the search to happen, and it was slow, and it was take a long time to download. And I just thumped through the phone book, and there it was, and there was the address, and it was not a big deal. So I think there's a great deal of reliance on the internet, and an unquestioning reliance. We're also talking about the Iraq Study Group, and the long-awaited report was made public today. They're talking about how grave and serious what's going on in Iraq is, and if you listen to the minister of OxyContin, and that would be Rush, he is calling it the Iraq Surrender Group, and he is saying that these people are, he's not saying that they're losers. He's saying that they only want the U.S. to lose, and that they're not in favor of a strong military, and he's making it sound like really we would be winning, except for these the Iraq Surrender Group who say that things are grave and serious and deteriorating and really completely a mess. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We also have almost as many contractors in Iraq, 100,000 contractors that is estimated, people snoring more money, in no-bid contracts. The level of corruption that has gone on there in every single way that you can measure it has been absolutely astronomical. So you have that going on. At the same time that the government is trying to get many of its workers to sign on voluntarily to go to Iraq to man certain bureaus and, work that needs to be done there. And we don't want to go. If you're an employee of the federal government, they're asking you, would you volunteer for several months? Who wants to go? It's crazy there, and it's really dangerous. And here's what you get. If you go, here's what you will get. You will get maybe a little tax break. So one of the recommendations that the Iraq Study Group is making is that if there are not enough people who want to step up to the plate, we will assign you to go. Now, you know, if you work for Halliburton and you went because you could make a zillion, you know, you can make six figures as a truck driver or something else there. You could make a lot of money, or you could freelance something and make a lot of money. At least you know what your risks are, and they're enormous. But you stand to also profit enormously. But to go there, and the best you get is a little bit of a tax break, please. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Bill in Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bill.
Enid, I've got a comment regarding that tragic incident up in Oregon of the San Francisco family.
The Kim family.
Got maroon.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen any reference to it, but I suspect...
It's like we don't have enough people in prisons to make more signs.
That's true. We got enough.
And I want to know, apparently it was one tragedy upon another tragedy, all kinds of bad luck, heaped upon bad luck, heaped upon bad luck. So if you are going off the road, how could you not realize... I mean, I'm finding... I don't know... I'm trying to imagine what their situation was. When you see that the road is really snowy and horrible, can't you backtrack in some way? You just keep plowing forward? I don't understand how they got into the predicament that they got into.
That I don't know. That was poor judgment, I would think. But then a lot of us are guilty of poor judgment at times. But I think a lot of this stuff would be not happen if the roads were properly signed.
Okay, we're going to leave it there, Bill. I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The internet.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive, massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I just can't wait till Christmas time.
Easy come, easy go. Have a good time with lots of dough. Slipping up high, slipping down low.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. You can join the conversation, 349-1320. And we're going to give away a couple of tickets later, a little bit later, to actually two ticket passes to a documentary made about the Dixie Chicks by a couple of Academy Award-winning documentary filmmakers. And this film is going to play at the Century Theaters, both in Sacramento and in Roseville. And the name of the film is called Shut Up and Sing. So, and this is supposed to be a very good documentary. So we have some tickets that we're going to be giving away in a little bit. We have to bribe you to listen. Do we have to bribe you to listen? We might. I hope that's not the case. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about, looks like John Bolton, who has resigned from the UN, is looking for a job in television. Do you think he'll be hired by anybody besides Fox? Maybe. I can't imagine it. To me, he is so unappetizing on every single level. And, of course, course, the Iraq Study Group, which the minister of OxyContin is calling the Iraq Surrender Group. He just makes it up. He absolutely just makes it up. It turns out that Sylvester Reyes, who is going to be heading up the Intelligence Committee for the House, is in favor of sending about 30,000 more people to Iraq, which is a great surprise when all the PR about him said that he was one of the few anti-war, anti-Iraq war. I don't think he signed on to the Iraq war when all the other Democrats did. So that's kind of distressing. But you have here now a report that talks about how grave and deteriorating and distressing the conditions are in Iraq, that it really makes everything that this administration said, it really puts it in a whole different light. And what I think you're going to see happening here is much more marginalization of Dickey, because Dickey believes that he's on the right road and that what has to happen for Dickey and when what he has said is that we're going to win if we stay. And what the report is saying, that it's, you know, what's the definition of insanity? To keep doing the same thing and expect a different outcome? Isn't that what they always say? I think that has been our policy in Iraq. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Traffic is just very congested today, especially westbound 50. Now, at St. Paul's over there, there's a three-car crash. Westbound 50 at 50. 9th Street and Wallerga at Antelope Road. We have 2 and 3 car crashes. Stockton Boulevard at Mack Road, a 2 car crash over there. Northbound Cap City Freeway, nice and slow up the way to B Street. And eastbound 50 just east of Zinfandel. We got a crash there when you get off on the ramp. You might want to get to the next one. It's really congested right there as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Talk radio for the left of us. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320. 20 Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is News 10 Now.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we know...
God, and really I've seen the executive summary of it. But it tells us how grave and deteriorating the situation is in Iraq. This is in contrast to what the administration has been insisting. And as I think about it, the administration has had so little pushback from anybody. I mean, even the most preposterous things that this administration, as delusional as it is, has come out with, but people don't push back. Reporters are not pushing back the way they once might have. It's sort of like, and I have been there, and maybe you have too, living in a small town where the only talk radio you get is conservative talk radio, and there's no pushback to it. And it purports to be the truth. So you've got the minister of OxyContin across the way there talking about the Iraq study group and calling it the Iraq surrender group. And he's saying that they're just losers in the sense that they only want America to lose. They don't want America to have a strong military, and that here we were pretty much on the verge of winning when this report comes out, which I think Russia's had way too much OxyContin. He's delusional, or maybe he's not delusional. Maybe he's smart like a fox, and he's got to make it right for his listeners that he supported this ridiculous endeavor, this delusional endeavor. So he concocts things, and they're happy to believe it. These are people who are living in the same parallel universe as this administration, which concocted all kinds of stuff, and had us believing it. Well, we didn't believe it. You didn't believe it, and I didn't believe it. But the press wasn't providing sufficient pushback. And now it's providing a little bit more pushback, but for my money, not enough. But I think that what is happening is this, the Baker Group, the Iraq Study Group, and Robert Gates, the hearings on Robert Gates, when he was asked by Old Man Byrd of was it West Virginia, I think, who was our enemy, Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden? Osama bin Laden, sir, you know, and it went on and on and on about that. So I think people are beginning to see just how corrupt, bankrupt this administration has been. And I think Dickey will be more marginalized. Maybe this is just wishful thinking, but what are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We have 100,000 contractors in Iraq snorfling for dough, just trying to shovel as much of it in a quite corrupt way. And here's something that the Clinton administration was able to put in effect, and it's one of the first things that the Bush administration did away with when they came into office. If you were caught, if you were caught overbilling the government, trying to steal from the government, trying to put one over on the government, you didn't get to do business with the government again. And that's one of the first things that Dickey revoked when they came into office. But they don't care how often you try to screw the government, because they've been screwing the government and they've been screwing us, and they're all in it together. And to the point where in this administration, it has not been seen in decades what this administration has done to make the top tier of the rich, and I'm talking about the top 1 or 2% of the rich, fabulously richer, astronomically more rich than everybody else in the society. You haven't seen this since the Gilded Age, where policies have been in place in all these decades so that there would be more equality. This has been better for the society. It has been better for what we needed to do as a society, for our equilibrium as a society, and you have seen this go. Anyway, this administration for a long time has said cut and run, cut and run. I'm saying cut and win. You have an odd turn of events where the new chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Sylvester Reyes, thinks that we need to put 30,000 more troops into Iraq. Where are we going to get them from in order to be able to solve the problems that are there? So this is an odd turn of events. And the Borowitz report, Bush is seeks Pam Anderson's advice about an exit strategy. Faced with a deteriorating situation in Iraq, the Borowitz report now is reporting this, President George W. Dickey Bush today summoned former Baywatch bombshell Pamela Anderson to the White House Oval Office to seek her advice about a possible exit strategy. Recent news reports involving Pamela Anderson suggest that she may have special expertise in devising an exit strategy, explained White House spokesman Tony Snow. The president would be crazy not to listen to her. Mr. Bush had been scheduled to meet with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, but abruptly canceled those plans to meet with Pamela Anderson instead, Mr. Snow explained. Speaking to reporters after her Oval Office meeting, Pamela Anderson said that she had assessed the situation in Iraq and told Mr. Bush to cut and run. The first time the U.S. got involved with Iraq, she said it was great, but the second time, not so much, she said. It's always a mistake to go back with an X. Mr. Bush's session with Ms. Anderson capped a series of similar meetings the president had in recent weeks with actress Renee Zellweger and singer Britney Spears. After meeting with Pamela Anderson, Ms. Zellweger, and Ms. Spears, the president believes he has arrived at a consensus regarding an exit strategy, Mr. Snow said. Shortly after Mr. Bush's meeting with Pamela Anderson, the White House issued the following statement. President Bush is separating from the nation of Iraq. Both he and Iraq hope that the American people will respect their privacy during this difficult time. The Borowitz Report. Comma, satire. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Well, you know the president is in trouble because where did you find him? Where does he pop up? He pops up on Fox News. And if he's really in trouble, he'll pop up on Rush's show, the minister of OxyContin. You know, as one of you put it, since Bush probably inhaled half the cocaine production of Peru up his nose, and he's meeting with the minister of OxyContin, the two can be delusional together, and the whole could be greater than the sum of the parts. But in trouble, the Bush administration returns to Fox again. The president met over the weekend with Fox News anchor Britt Hume for a, quote, sit-down interview, Fox News Channel is reporting. So, it was always pretty much impossible to interview the president, particularly in his first term because he was hoping for a second term. And now that he's a lame duck, a very lame duck, he is going all over the place to try to justify himself. And I think this Iraq report will marginalize him further, but maybe that's wishful thinking. What are your thoughts about that? The November sweeps have told us that NBC Nightly News is still on top, ABC is still second, and CBS with Katie Couric is still third. They're paying her $15 million, and she's not doing much better, I think probably doing the same as, maybe she's doing not quite as well as Bob Schieffer, who was not being paid $15 million. And in case, we're in sort of a pivotal time in this country. We're in a pivotal time where the usual forms don't obtain anymore. Book sales are down. Newspaper circulation is way down for most newspapers in this country. I don't know that there's one that's up. If there is, it's maybe like the USA Today. Maybe small town newspapers where you really have got to read the newspaper to know what's going on. But so books don't have the same position. They don't occupy the same position that they once did. I mean, look, if I did it, I rest my case, okay? So books don't occupy the same position. People are not reading newspapers. They go online instead, and they believe everything they see online, which led to the demise, I think, of the Kim family, because if you Google some of those maps, they tell you that road that is impassable is a road that that they could take as a shortcut and not. And then you've got Keith Olbermann, who is doing very well. His ratings have gone way up on MSNBC, but he did get into some trouble because he said about Rita Cosby that she was dumber than a suitcase of rocks, full of rocks. And I don't know about you, but her voice is awfully grating. Oprah's numbers are down. Daytime TV talk shows, their ratings are dropping. I don't know who's around to watch the daytime TV talk shows, but their ratings are dropping. And I don't know what all of this means exactly. I don't know what it means that we're not reading newspapers the way we once did. I don't know what it means that we're not into books. Book sales or have gone down. Now, this doesn't mean we're not reading. Maybe we're just reading them at the library. But something is happening, and it's something really pivotal. And it's happening at a time when everything is becoming ascendant. And it's also happening at a time when financially we're in terrible shape, this country. And in terms of the war, we're also in terrible shape. So I don't know what picture we can make of that. I'm just seeing the outlines of it, but I don't know what the picture is yet, and you might have some thoughts about that. Recent poll shows a big jump in Nancy Pelosi's favorable ratings. The November 9th to 12th USA Today Gallup poll clearly shows that incoming House Speaker Pelosi's profile has gone up after the elections. 38% of Americans say that they have a favorable opinion of her, while 24% have an unfavorable view, and 38% are not familiar enough with her to give an opinion. Before the election, she had only a meager 26%. But I think people really didn't know who she was. And what she has done is something, I think, pretty generous for Democrats to be doing to Republicans, who I don't think would have done this to them, for them. In what can only be described as a random act of bipartisan kindness, incoming Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has reportedly offered her Republican predecessor, Dennis Hastert, who, by the way, comes off very poorly. There's a big Vanity Fair report on Mark Foley, whom everybody in the universe seemed to know was gay, including Dennis Hastert. And Dennis Hastert ought to be investigated. In fact, there is a movement afoot, because here's a guy who starts out in Congress with assets of about $300,000, and now they're worth $6 million because of earmarks that he was behind that made the land that he owns much more valuable, to the tune of $6 million as opposed to $300,000. And that ought to be investigated. In any event, what can only be described as a random act of bipartisan kindness, Nancy Pelosi has reportedly offered Dennis Hastert, her Republican predecessor, prized office space during the 110th Congress. Everybody else is going to have to move out of their very desirable space. And when they were in power, they made Democrats really eat it. I mean, they put him in closets, practically, to use as their offices. And I think he's so corrupt, and even though he is her predecessor, and she is being generous, I think she ought to stuff him in a closet, except he's too fat to fit in one. What do you think? Maybe this is a good thing to do. I'm always ending the broadcast by saying, do something generous. And Nancy must have heard me. She must have been listening in. And so she's giving that old corrupt guy, that the guy whose word, even if he tells you what time it is, you got to get a second opinion. She's giving him a really nice office. She's rewarding Hastert with a plush and coveted Capitol office suite, now held by retiring Ways and Means Chairman Bill Thomas, Republican of California. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Nancy Pelosi has also said, we're not going to cut off funding for Iraq. Is that the right thing to do? She said, for voters who elected a Democratic Congress, hoping it would force President Bush to bring U.S. troops home from Iraq, we're not going to cut off funding for the troops. She said, absolutely not. This is the Democrats' real chance here to make a difference. They can do the right thing. They can roll up their sleeves and do things that are not corrupt, that are not business as usual. And I don't know if they're going to be up for the challenge. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it or not. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But a top Democrat wants more troops in Iraq. He is heading up the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Sylvester Reyes. He thinks he was an early opponent of the Iraq War. He voted against the October 2002 resolution authorizing Dickey to invade that country. That dovish record got prominently cited last week when Nancy Pelosi chose him as new head of the intelligence panel. But he says we're not going to have stability in Iraq until we eliminate those militias, those private armies. We have to consider the need for additional troops to be in Iraq to take out the militias, to stabilize Iraq. And he wants to put something like 30,000 more troops into Iraq. You agree with him? Are you disappointed that he said it? I was surprised, and I'm disappointed, I have to tell you. Because I think they can, it's like a hole that you cannot fill. You can keep pumping all kinds of troops in there, and I don't think you're going to solve anything. 349-1320, 866-626-2613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Westbound 50 just east of Sunrise Boulevard, and in that area, about a 1 mile radius, we've got a 3-car crash just stopping traffic down. Southbound I-5 just north of Q Street, and southbound I-5 at 102 northbound Cap City Freeway at H Street. And it looks like westbound 50, man, I'm talking Zinfandel all the way down, is very congested. So if you can get off there, take another route. That might be a better way. It's 5:23 and AM 1320. Enid Live continues.
Sal Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
In the world of...
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does.
if novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions of folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320. Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We do have a pair of tickets we're going to give away later as we continue. We're bribing you to listen today, I think, maybe. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I want to share this with you from the Wall Street Journal today. Like a retreating army, Republicans are tearing up railroad track and planting legislative landmines to make it harder for Democrats to govern when they take power in Congress next month. Now, I just shared with you the story that Nancy Pelosi, in a burst of generosity, is giving chubby Dennis Hastert a wonderful office. And this is what the Republicans are paying back Democrats with. Already, the Republican leadership has moved to saddle the new Democratic majority with responsibility for resolving more than $400 billion in unfinished domestic spending bills. They're just leaving. Need its pledge of reinstituting pay-as-you-go budget, warning us that 83% of the chickens it tested were infected with either Campylobacter or Salmonella bacteria or both. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Campylobacter or Salmonella bacteria or both. In other words, 83% of supermarket chickens are infected. 83% are infected. Taco Bell, meanwhile, has ordered scallions removed from its 5,800 U.S. restaurants after tests suggested that they may be responsible for an E. coli outbreak. So we've got an outbreak of E. coli. Remember the spinach E. coli outbreak? This E. coli outbreak sickened about 39 or so in New Jersey and New York. They were infected, two of them critically, an outbreak of food poisoning. Then you have the polonium story where people are the polonium, radiated with polonium 210. It was a British spy story that we're continuing to monitor because it's so juicy. And speaking of juicy, Jamba Juice is pulling strawberry citing bacteria. Jamba Incorporated's Jamba Juice chain of smoothie shops said that strawberries sold in Arizona, Southern Nevada, and Southern California late last month may have been contaminated with Listeria, a potentially deadly bacterium. And in contrast to all of this, the New York City Board of Health is voting to ban trans fats. If you were asking me what I would make of all of these food poisonings, these outbreaks, and we talked about how turkeys are raised when we were coming out of Thanksgiving, what I would say is we're slowly poisoning ourselves to death. And the umbrella under which we're doing is it's always more jobs. You know, we're going to let that factory pollute. Because, it's more jobs, and you can get pollution credits. We're going to let the EPA libraries get cut, their budget cut by 80%, so they're going to be starved. So that, and we don't want people to have access to that information. Because, people can make money if they pollute. So we want to do that. And if they can raise these chickens under the most draconian circumstances so that 83% of them are infected, but, hey, they make a lot of money, well, that's what we're about, isn't it? So in a million ways, I think we have become a society that is poisoning ourselves to death in one way or another. And always the excuse is, well, you know what, this will result in more jobs. So let's, but New York City has decided to take a stance. Maybe it's, I don't know if it should or not. In principle, I sort of agree with it, but some of you are not going to like it. The Board of Health in New York voted to make New York the nation's first city to ban artery-clogging artificial trans fats at restaurants. And that would stretch from the corner pizza joint to high-end bakeries. The ban has been passed unanimously. It did give restaurants a slight break by relaxing some compliance. The restaurants will be barred from using most frying oils containing artificial trans fats by July and will have to eliminate the artificial trans fats from all their foods in a year from now. We're in 2006. So by this July of 2007, they're going to have to eliminate some, and by 2008, they have to eliminate the rest. Restaurant industry representatives call the ban burdensome and unnecessary. We don't think that a municipal health agency has any business banning a product that the FDA has already approved. Well, I don't know if the FDA has approved cigarettes. They're legal, and I guess trans fats are legal, too, but they're not good for you. So in all these other ways, you go to a place like Jamba Juice where you're hoping to get a good, healthy juice drink. And then we find out that they're going to pull their strawberries because the strawberries could be contaminated with Listeria, a potentially deadly bacterium. And if you want to be good and keep away from fatty foods and maybe you have chicken, 83% of the chicken are contaminated with various bacteria. And so they are infected. And certainly what's going on in Washington is heavily infected. Taco Bell, you eat at Taco Bell, you got a problem. Some 39 people or so suffering from E. coli. You think you're doing something good for yourself. You buy some spinach, and what happens? You conk out from E. coli. I love that line from Willie Nelson. He got busted for having a bag of weed. He said it was a good thing it was weed and not spinach, or he'd be dead by now. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Santa and Lisa West.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Enid Goldstein. You've been a little girl, so I'm going to tell you where you don't go and drive.
Well, I think I've been both naughty and nice, but we won't talk about that now.
Well, then I'm sending you on northbound Cap City Freeway because it is very congested. We also have that, and we're going to see that, southbound I-5 just north of Q Street and E Street en route to northbound Cap City Freeway, which is where we're sending naughty little Enid because it is so packed up that people are stopping down 5 to 10 mile per hour traffic. Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rose, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel, the only channel left.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left-channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? Let's upload on all my America.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
I'm 1320.
There's
a Santa who looks a lot like Elvis, the king of rock and roll. Take a look at the double chin, he's weighing about 310, with golden chains and sequin belt below. There's a Santa who looks a lot like Elvis, down at the Kmart store. But the scariest sight to see is that jolly VIP in a pompadour. A pair of blue suede boots and a beard with black roots and a face you knew way back when. A drawl in his talk and a swagger and walk and the hips that wiggled back then. My mom and dad can barely wait to see the king again.
He's a Santa who sounds a lot like Elvis.
5:42 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And I'm asking you, we're looking, you know, one of the things I love to do is to look at things that don't look like they go together and paint a picture. And I think these things look like they go together big time. And they are painting a picture of a society that's in the process of poisoning itself, whether it's in the food supply, whether it's in our political waters, which are so deeply poisoned, so filled with corruption, lies, and distortions. And then you have a pitiful effort by the New York City Health Board to veto trans fats. Chicago had no more, you can't do foie gras in Chicago anymore because it's very cruel to the poor geese that are involved in the making. No actual geese were involved in the making of this foie gras. Anyway, what are your thoughts about this? And it comes at a time when we're not reading newspapers the way we once did. Do you know anybody under 35 was reading newspapers? Anybody listening to Enid Live, if you're under 35 and you regularly read a newspaper, would you weigh in? Because we don't think you exist anymore. 349-1320-866-2613-20. Adria in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Adria. Hi.
Hi. I'm going to make a little bit of trouble hearing you. I am under 35, and I don't read the newspaper every day, but I do read News Line. Does that count?
Wait. I'm having a hard time. You must be on a cell phone. You said you don't read the newspaper every day. You're under 35, but what do you read every day?
Well, I do check the news online every day. I don't know if that counts, but I do check.
Well, it does. Yeah,
I do listen. I listen to 1320 every day, so.
Okay. Well, then in that case, you're just brilliant.
But I wanted to comment just briefly on the contaminated food issues you were bringing up.
Yeah.
I had a lot of health problems as a child and ate a lot of kind of fake foods. My family wasn't super educated about how to get healthier food. And when I was 16, I actually made a lot of changes and started eating healthier. And for about 8 years, I've been vegetarian, and I try to avoid dairy. And I know that in your discussion earlier, you were bringing up how difficult it is, even when you try to make healthy choices, like the Jamba Juice contamination, that there's still these issues. But I think it's important, too, that people don't get discouraged by that, because I hear that a lot when I talk to folks about making some possible changes in their diet, that, oh, well, you know, try to make this change, and then this new obstacle arises. But I think it's important that people don't get too discouraged and do try to continue to educate themselves about making healthy food choices.
Say that again. What about healthy food choices? I'm sorry, I didn't hear
Just that people don't get discouraged by the fact that there are obstacles, even when you're looking at produce, because despite those obstacles, there still are some, you know, research-proven choices that you can make that are going to really contribute to a healthier diet and a healthier life. So I just want to put out that message that I hope people don't get discouraged, even though there are a lot of issues in all types of foods right now.
Okay, I agree with you, and I thank you for calling and weighing in, and keep reading is what
thank
I want
you.
To say. One of the things that interests me a lot in living life is how we can make changes, because we are a society built on changing, and yet it's not easy to do it. I mean, if you look at the things that you want to do, you want to eat healthy. If you haven't been eating healthy, you might want to try to lose weight, and particularly that's an issue in the holidays. We're coming into the holiday season when you're tempted with all kinds of treats and gifts and so on. You want to quit smoking. You want to quit drinking. You want to quit doing drugs. All these things are what you want to do intellectually, but they're not easy to do. And I think that part of the challenge, you know, if you could figure out everything by the time you're 5 years old, what will you do for the next 85 or 90 years of your life? You wouldn't have anything left to do. So I think it's really interesting to kind of find out your own personal mapping and figure out why there are obstacles. And if you stay at it long enough, you can really begin to make some changes. But they're not immediate. I mean, all these things that they're going to try and zonk you with after the holidays, the weight loss programs and the Jenny Craigs and all that other stuff, you know, they make it sound like it can happen right now. Well, in a way, it can happen right now, but sometimes it takes getting your head around it in a particular way before you can make it happen. It's like everything else, like sex. It's like everything. It's got to happen in your head first, I think. Well, not always, but to lose weight, it's got to happen in your head first, or to quit smoking. You really have to be ready. And when you're ready for it to happen, then it happens. And it isn't only the changes that you want to make in regard to weight loss and so on. It's also if you're ready to make another change in your life, like ready to get up, you know, go up a step or two, you're ready for it. Well, you sort of have to be ready for it in your head. And when you're ready for it in your head, the funny thing is it sort of appears on your doorstep. All those doors that you were knocking on when you weren't quite ready for it, and all those doors that slammed shut in your face, well, when you're ready for it, when you've really done your homework, those doors just sort of open magically. That has been my experience anyway. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But this business about poisoning ourselves, whether it's our water, whether it's radiation in the air, whether, you know, and you have a lot of low-level radiation. You're getting it from computer monitors. You're getting it from color TV sets. I don't know how much of it is escaping from microwave ovens. Maybe none. I don't know. Certainly cell phones. Who knows what the cumulative effect of it is? But you see all these commercials now on TV for people who have, they're touting the drug that has helped them to deal with, quote, their cancers. And I'm thinking, gosh, I've never heard of so much cancer. You really can hardly turn around without hearing about more, you know, so maybe it's being caught earlier. Or maybe there's just more of it. I don't know. But here's what Consumers Reports has to say about chicken. You think you're doing the right thing? You eat some chicken because it's better for you, and fish is good for, supposed to be good for you. Well, it would be if your chickens weren't weren't poisoned. If you eat undercooked or mishandled chicken, Consumers Reports says, our new test indicates you have a very good chance of feeling miserable. Consumer Reports analysis of fresh whole broilers bought nationwide revealed that 83% harbored Campylobacter or Salmonella, the leading bacterial causes of foodborne disease. That is a stunning increase from 2003, when we reported finding that 49% tested positive for one or both pathogens. Leading chicken producers have stabilized the incidence of Salmonella, but spiral-shaped Campylobacter has wriggled onto more chickens than ever. And although the U.S. Department of Agriculture tests chickens for Salmonella against a federal standard, it has not set a standard for Campylobacter. And you know what else? They hardly have enough inspectors anyway. More than ever, Consumer Reports reports, it's up to consumers to make sure we protect ourselves by cooking chicken to at least 165 degrees Fahrenheit and guarding against cross-contamination. And if you think the premium brands are safer, apparently they're not. Overall, chickens labeled as organic or raised without antibiotics and costing $3 to $5 a pound were more likely to harbor Salmonella than were conventionally produced broilers that cost more like $1 a pound. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And in a lot of places, the mercury in fish is too high. They're telling pregnant women don't have so much tuna fish. You know, I was eating so much tuna fish, I swear to you, I think I was glowing in the dark. Eddie in Elk Grove, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Enid. You know, you're asking about what is it with us, we seem to be poisoning ourselves, and I think it also could tie into the way we read our, you know, we're not reading anymore, so we're kind of poisoning our information pool too, and all these things come from the economies of scale. You know, we're trying to mass produce food. We're losing more and more family farms and getting larger and larger, you know, agribusiness sources for foods. When there's a problem with it, the economies of scale becomes a quality that fails.
We also, you know, everything is about profit. That's really all we care about. So whatever it takes to make a profit, and the fix is in, and the special interests prevail, because we the people, who are we? We're nobody. Why do you think all these chickens are so infected? The way they process them is horrible.
Yeah, right. They're so pressed together. Same thing with pork and with all our livestock.
Right. And then they get diseases, and so then they pump them full of antibiotics, and then therefore we're ingesting the antibiotics. And then when we get stuff that we need the antibiotics, when we get diseases and stuff that the antibiotics will help us with, they won't because we're now resistant. These are now antibiotic-resistant strains of whatever.
But you were talking about trying to tie these things that don't go together to larger stuff. I think it ties it also to people not reading as much, and so we're getting mass-produced information, what comes through the networks, what comes from USA Today, so we don't have as many filters anymore. It all becomes all, you know, conglomerized as to what the few corporate sources come from. Same thing happens with our education level, too. We have high schools that are having more and more people.
Well, explain to me why this is. When the literacy rate should be high because we have free education in this country, and where everybody is online, and there has never been more information available. There's information all over the place. There's so much of it that we are inundated.
We have a lot of information, but we don't have good filters for information. We don't have good aggregators. And so we trust the larger aggregators there. We don't do it ourselves.
Okay. Eddie, I thank you very much for weighing in. If anybody has any thoughts about it, what this points to, and I don't think it's a perky sign. 3-4, you know, and Gwyneth Paltrow had it right. And you can't even get good conversation in this country because nobody's reading anymore. It's all about their your jobs and real estate. That's what and which restaurant to go to. 349-1328, 666-26, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, hit and runs. A couple of them. Bradshaw Road to Kiefer. Northbound Cap City Freeway on H Street. Westbound 50 just west to St. Pauli's. Just west? It would be west. Since that's my last name, maybe I could figure it out. Northbound Cap City Freeway at B Street. They're going to send me down there for being naughty. Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the one you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Oh,
the morning retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists. Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
And left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as clutchy as a cactus. You're as slippery as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black heel.
5:55 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays. Are you doing your homework assignment and telling everybody about AM 1320? Okay. Oh, there it is. I was lost for a moment, but now I found. Okay, here we go. I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to a documentary made by Academy Award documentary filmmakers. It's about the Dixie Chicks from 2003 to the start of their 2006 tour, where they just about lost their career because they criticized Dixie in the war. And this is going to be playing at a number of Century Theaters in Roseville and in Sacramento. It's called Shut Up and Sing. I'm going to give away a pass that will admit two of you to the movie, and you just have to be the fifth caller, 349-1320-866-626-1320. You be the fifth caller, but the catch is you've got to come and pick up the tickets here at our wonderful studios, 5345 Madison Avenue. We are on Madison between Hemlock and Garfield, and not too far from I-80. So if you are the fifth caller, you get a pair of tickets to this movie that's supposed to be a pretty good movie. I think we have a winner, and we do. Congratulations to Lydia. Lydia, you get these tickets, so lucky you. Okay, I haven't shared this with you because Mary Cheney, the vice president, Dickie's openly gay daughter, is pregnant. She and her partner of 15 years, Heather Poe,
I'm Bill Whitney. Iraq Study Group co-chairman Lee Hamilton introduced the panel's report today with these sobering words.
Situation in Iraq is grave and deteriorating. Violence is increasing in scope and lethality.
Case in point.
We've had 10 service members killed in four separate events today.
Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Garver, U.S. military spokesman in Baghdad. The study group's recommendations include a regional diplomatic push and a pullback of most American combat troops by early 2008. The emphasis would be on training Iraqi forces. CBS News correspondent David Martin looks into that.
Former Defense Secretary William Perry says there should be a five-fold increase in trainers.
Those can come out of the combat brigades we now have there if the commanders in place determine that's the best way to do it.
The Pentagon is already planning to triple the number of trainers, and former Senator Charles Robb says that will be a big change in strategy.
It represents a clear break from the past tradition of being the principal combat unit to a role of combat support.
After 3.5 years of war in Iraq, the report says, This may be the only strategy the U.S. military is still capable of executing.
Co-chairman James Baker, interviewed by correspondent Katie Couric on the CBS Evening News, said the focus on Iraq has to shift.
This is primarily a political problem, not a military one. We're not going to win this militarily. It has to be won politically by action on by the Iraqi government.
At the White House, spokesman Tony Snow made no commitments on the report.
We're studying it. We got it at 7 a.m. this morning, and therefore I think it probably deserves close study and scrutiny, and that's exactly what it's going to get.
Tomorrow, President Bush meets with his closest foreign ally, British Prime Minister Tony Blair. The Senate wasted no time confirming Robert Gates to be Secretary of Defense.
Mr. Kerry. Aye. Mr. Kerry, aye. Mr. Jeffords.
Aye.
Mr. Jeffords, aye.
The ayes had it. The final vote was 95-2. Gates will be sworn in on the 18th. Search teams in the mountains of southern Oregon made the discovery they feared today.
We were devastated.
Josephine County Undersheriff Brian Anderson says they found James Kim's body in a mountain creek a mile from the spot where he'd left his family in search of help.
Most of us have breathed and lived this for days. And yeah, you do take it personal. And it's been tough.
When he first made the announcement of Kim's death, Anderson turned away from the microphone in tears. An E. coli outbreak has prompted Taco Bell to pull scallions from the menus at its 5,800 U.S. restaurants. Lab tests found three samples of green onions that appear to be contaminated with a strain of the bacteria. It sickened three dozen people in three states. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial is down 22 points today, closing at 12,309. This is CBS News.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixel.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, when I was a kid, we were always moving.
Oh, was your dad in the Army?
No, he had a moving company.
This holiday, you know what to get someone on the go?
Corrugated boxes?
A 17-inch dual-core notebook with a gig of memory and a 120-gig hard drive.
Ah.
Just $699.99 after savings and rebate.
Wow.
Plus, CompUSA has complete gift packs.
Really?
Buy a main item like a notebook or a TV and then save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more. There are eight different complete gift pack categories. See CompUSA for details.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Oh, sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
There's an encouraging report on the treatment of one form of leukemia. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the story.
It used to be if you were diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia, your prospects weren't great. Now a five-year study of the drug Gleevec shows survival rates climbing to 90%, and in the later years of the study, relapse rates actually fell. Oregon researcher Brian Druker, lead author of this New England Journal of Medicine study.
Patients who are on therapy have very bright prospects for continuing to do well.
Gleevec specifically targets cancerous cells, a mechanism that someday might be used to manage a wide range of cancers. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The death of former Russian spy Alexander Litvinenko is being treated as a murder now, but British police say they've reached no conclusions about a motive or who might be responsible. Litvinenko died 2 weeks ago, apparently after ingesting radioactive polonium-210. Traces of the element had been found at a London stadium where another former Russian spy attended a soccer game. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. And you can join the conversation. It's really easy to do and doesn't cost you anything. And we love hearing new voices. 916, if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320. And if you're not, put it in your speed dial. If you're not, 866-626-1320. Tomorrow, we are going to be joined by Bonnie Wolf. The foreword of the book is written by Scott Turow, who's an attorney and who is a really brilliant writer, Presumed Innocent. Remember that movie and that book? Her book is called Talking with My Mouth Full, Crab Cakes, Bundt Cakes, and Other Kitchen Stories. And we're up for a good kitchen story as we move into the holiday season and a lot of people are entertaining. Well, we just talked a moment ago about Mary Chaney. She and her partner are pregnant. Well, Mary Chaney is, and they're keeping the details of the situation private. Well, guess what? Jenna Bush, she's in trouble again. She's fallen in love with an unemployed 25-year-old. He says he's the owner of a marketing agency, but every unemployed marketing person who's 25 years old always say that they're in Argentina, always say that they are owners of their own marketing agency. But anyway, he goes on. He's been interviewed, the boyfriend, who's very cute but highly unemployed. He goes on to say that his girlfriend enjoys every moment, and that would be Jenna. What I admire about her, he says, the most what I admire about her is that when we go out to eat, each pays for her own. She has a salary from her job and this in big letters, in capital letters, her own credit card. My God, get that girl home. No wonder she stayed behind when the U.S. Embassy told the twins to get lost. So here she's fallen in love with a guy who's unemployed, loves her for her credit card. He's kind of cute, but... you know, we've all been on vacation, and this is not, you know, these girls, what have they accomplished in life other than they've managed to keep out of the pokey for a little while? Okay, we've been talking about many, many things today. We've been talking about the family that didn't, CNET editor who was found dead in the canyon in Oregon. We've been talking about the Iraq study report. We've been talking about the poison food supply. We've been talking about how the elite get their kids into fancy Ivy League schools because they promise big donations. Sometimes they don't even give those donations. They promise them, and the school is forever hopeful that they'll come through. So sometimes the parents wait till the kids graduate, and sometimes they don't come through at all. And I want to add to the conversation. The subject of illegal immigration has always been a pretty contentious subject. And Peter Schrag, in his inimitable way, and he's always worth reading, he's really smart. He's smart about California. He's just smart in general. He's wise. And I like what he has to say most of the time. And he said, oh, the irony of ironies. When Republicans trying to make life harder for illegals pushed the Real ID Act through Congress last year, did anyone suspect that it could open the door for illegals in California to get a driver's license? Well, here's how it happened. The law requires that for a driver's license to be recognized for federal ID purposes, the most common is for boarding a plane. So you don't have a driver's license. I guess you don't get on a plane. Well, you have to have some ID, but everybody uses their driver's license. I don't know what else is valid. If you don't have a driver's license, you'll have to tell me. But in any event, it has to be based on various convincing documents, including a verified Social Security number showing the holder is a citizen or a legal resident. States can still issue licenses to others, but those can't be used as a federally approved Real ID document. States must be in compliance by May of 2008. That will almost certainly force a compromise, as it should, Peter Schrag writes, between Senator Gil Cedillo, a Los Angeles Democrat who's been trying regularly to pass a bill to allow illegals to get licenses, and Schnortzy, who's been vetoing them just as regularly. The governor will need a bill. Cedillo, who once insisted that licenses issued to illegals should be indistinguishable, will bow to the federal law's requirement that licenses issued to undocumented residents must be plainly marked as invalid for federal ID purposes. It will be a step back toward sanity and fairness, Schrag writes. The hassle for motorists of the Real ID process and the cost for the state will be painful, and its payoff in security dubious. But it will undercut the argument that all those illegals who also happen to be terrorists can use the licenses to get on airliners to plant their bombs. Only legal residents and documented visitors will be able to do that. That leaves two arguments for denying licenses to illegals. One, the moral argument that we don't want to reward illegal behavior, even if we leave more menaces on the road. And two, the goofy contention that by preventing illegals from driving legally, we will discourage people from coming to this country illegally. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320. What's going to happen with the Real ID Act is that people who are illegal are going to get driver's licenses. There will be a two-tier system. You'll have a real ID and a not-so-real ID, but you'll be able to get the not-so-real ID. So if you're driving in this country, you got to have insurance. You know, that's something that I've worked on in the state of California. Jackie Spear really spearheaded it. But I took it over and helped to talk about it on the air. It was something that she hatched on a program of mine, and it became the law. You've got to show proof of insurance before you can register your car or re-register it in the state of California. You have to show proof of auto insurance. So here you've got these people who, what they're doing, because they can't get driver's licenses if they're not legal and they don't, there are a lot of people who are not legal, but they are able to doctor up documents that make it look like they are. But in any event, if they're not able to do that, what they buy are these beaters, and then if there's an accident or something, they just leave them and get something else, get another beater. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So what's going to happen here Peter Schrag goes on to say that there's yet another inconsistency here. California, like some other states, offers in-state college tuition to any California high school graduate who's been in school here for 3 years or more, regardless of documentation, provided only that he or she sign a document promising to apply for legal status as soon as that's possible. The policy makes sense, Schrag writes, since the last thing we want is to raise a generation of undereducated, alienated immigrants who contribute less than they could to an economy that badly needs well-trained people. So where's the logic in providing them low tuition, but then not allowing them to drive to school or to work? If there's any moral, legal argument for denying state-issue licenses to people who aren't supposed to be here in the first place, how does it apply to people who are brought here as young children, encouraged to work hard in school, attend college, and who, in many cases, know no other country? No one knows how many thousands of them there are, but they represent a future resource, or alternatively, a burden. The state has invested in their education at least through high school. Should we now expatriate that investment and send the kids back to even things up with their parents? At the moment, the leaders of the troglodyte CRA, the California Republican Assembly, flying the flag of a campaign called Save Our License, are trying again to qualify a ballot measure to forever prohibit both in-state tuition and driver's licenses for illegals. A prior effort to collect enough signatures failed. Is that something that you agree with? If you are undocumented, if you are here illegally, you've been in a high school for 3 years or more, you qualify for California high school for 3 years or more, you qualify for in-state tuition. But the way it's set up now, if you're not legal, you don't get to have a driver's license, which is preposterous. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But irony of ironies, writes Peter Schrag, when Republicans trying to make life harder for illegals, whom they depend on as a cheap source of labor, pushed the Real ID Act through Congress last year, did anyone suspect that it could open the door for illegals in California to really get driver's licenses? Well, I'm glad they're doing it. And I'm glad there's the possibility for them to have driver's licenses. And the Supreme Court has ruled it has rejected the Bush administration's aggressive use of immigration laws to expel legal immigrants for minor drug crimes, a decision that could spare thousands from being deported. You're legal, but let's say you had a minor drug crime. The Bush administration wanted to throw you out, send you packing, get rid of you. And the Supreme Court says, can't do it. Immigrant rights lawyers said that the resounding 8-1 decision would allow non-citizens who have families, jobs, and otherwise clean records to appeal to immigration judges to stay in this country despite a past drug conviction. So if you're a non-citizen and you have a minor infraction, the government can't automatically deport you. This ensures that lawful residents will have their day in court, But they're also saying that it would allow non-citizens who have families, jobs, and otherwise clean records to appeal to immigration judges to stay in this country despite a past drug conviction. So if you're non-legal and you have a past drug conviction, that's not grounds to toss you out. And if you're legal and you have a minor drug conviction, it's not grounds to toss you out, is the way I interpret this. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Do you have a problem with somebody who is here illegally or undocumented? They bring their children with them when they come. They've never become legal. The kids have been in high school for more than 3 years, and they get, by law, in-state tuition. So you're able to get in-state tuition, but right now you legally cannot get a driver's license. If you're a kid who's enrolled in a college, a university, or someplace, and you want to drive to class or to your job, you can't do it legally. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm in favor of what Peter Schrag has to say here. I think he's wise on this subject. And I wanted to talk, since this is the season to be jolly, and often people don't succeed, which makes us more depressed, they're doing a study of what makes us happy. And one of the things on the study, and I was really intrigued by this, is when our options get limited. And I once wrote about option glut. In this country, if you go to buy an ice cream cone, you have a choice of 5 million flavors, 77 different kinds of cones, 87 toppings, and, you know, all kinds of permutations that can arise from those choices. So it takes you a little while, unless you know exactly what you want, to figure out what you want to have. They've done some research, and what they find out is fewer options make us happier. Not more options, which you would think is what makes us happy, but fewer options. And I understand why that is. We had Daniel Gilbert on one day. He has written about happiness, stumbling into happiness. He believes that friends make you happy, that when your kids finally leave home, that that really makes couples happier, that money does not make you happy. It only makes you happy if you have been living in poverty. But if you're in a position where, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 or more, it doesn't matter how much more money. If you win the lotto, if you get a big promotion or you strike it rich in some way or another, it doesn't make you happier. It might give you some tools, but it doesn't necessarily make you happier. Limiting your options will make you happier. Having lots of choice might seem like a good thing, but in fact, it can lead to unhappiness. Consider a study conducted by a couple of professors, one of whom was our friend Daniel Gilbert. Participants were allowed to choose an art poster to take home. Some were told that if they didn't like the poster, they could exchange it for another poster. Others were told that their decision was final. Who was the happiest with their choice? Well, the happiest with their choice was those for whom the choice was irrevocable. In other words, you made a choice and that's it. You couldn't return it. So there's no second-guessing yourself. You second-guess yourself in advance when you make the choice. And then you know. You can't send it back. And when it was like that with marriage, I think maybe people stayed married longer. But when you can always find something better, younger, cuter, cheaper, you're always looking over your shoulder. You're always second-guessing yourself. You're always thinking that you made the wrong choice. So Professor Gilbert at Harvard writes, those for whom the choice was irrevocable were the happiest. When options are open, the mind generates debate. You know, it's like you could have any possibility here. But when options are closed, the mind generates satisfaction. That insight spurred Professor Gilbert to limit his own choices. It made me realize, he said, that I ought to propose to my girlfriend. He did, and now that she's my wife, he says, I'm happier. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some traffic going on, though it's still a little congested over there, northbound Cap City Freeway, and on route to E Street, we have a three-car crash. Bradshaw Road and Kiefer Road, southbound I-5 just north of Q Street, and westbound 50 just east of Sunrise Boulevard. Now, our lows tonight, we're going to see about 37, highs tomorrow, 62, And, well, that's a little warmer than we're getting. But over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to see some precipitation. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Gets you.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
26th on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Wednesday's a good going out night. So is Thursday, so is Friday. But Saturday night is like New Year's Eve. It's like amateur's night out. That's what I think. New Year's Eve never lives up to its advance billing, in my opinion. We're talking about a lot of things. And if you were just joining us, we've been talking about, today we have been talking about the Internet Study Group, which the minister of OxyContin across the way calls the Iraq... the Iraq Study Group, which he calls the Iraq Surrender Group. And he thinks that the only reason that they have come to the conclusion that the war is a complete failure and devastating and a consequence, what we're doing there, grave and deteriorating and so on, some really pretty dire descriptions, is that they don't want to see a strong military in this country, or a military that wins. And I don't know where he gets this stuff. I think he makes it up. He has to make it up. And none of it is, it's completely delusional. But all of his followers believe it, just like the followers of Dickey believed all the delusional stuff that he was spinning out. And I think now with this report, and now with the press, with the having cover of Robert Gates saying we're not winning the war, although one general said we're not winning the war, but we're not losing the war. Oh, please. So now that we have this kind of cover, you have reporters now who will be a little less timid about reporting what's going on. And I think you have a more marginalized president who looks ridiculous in the face of the conclusion for the Iraq Study Group. I don't know how this is going to play itself out, but it's going to play itself out in one way or another. We're also talking about the family that... got rescued. Well, the wife and the two children got rescued in the canyon, but the CNET editor, the dad who went looking for help and trudged on and on and on, was found, his body was found, which is really a sad story. And one of the reports we're getting is that if you look at some of these internet mapping services, they say that the road that he took is a valid shortcut, whereas the locals say don't ever go near that road in bad weather because you could get into serious trouble. And it was one thing on top of another thing on top of another thing. And, you know, they traveled. They apparently had a cell phone. I don't understand, unless they were in such a remote place, they couldn't get a signal. That story is a mystery. We're talking also about Iraq and the fact that we have 100,000 contractors in Iraq, maybe 130,000 or so troops. We're talking also about the fact that the federal government needs more people, more of its government employees to go over to Iraq to staff certain agencies just for several months at a time. But the only thing it's willing to give them is a little bit of a tax break, because and people are not volunteering, and you can understand why they're not volunteering. And we're talking about what can you say about a society where 83% of the chicken they're filled with bacteria of one kind or another, where you can't go to Jamba Juice because the strawberries might have listeria, where 39 people were poisoned with E. coli eating at, I think, a Taco Bell. Well, what a surprise. And a spinach, you know, remember the spinach E. coli breakout? I mean, we are a society that's poisoning ourselves to death. 349-1320, 866-626. 1320, and we're talking about illegals. There's a new law that the Republicans couldn't wait to shove through, and it might open the door for illegals in California to have driver's licenses. There'll be a two-tier system of driver's licenses, but they ought to have driver's licenses, and for a lot of reasons that make it the road safer for the rest of us. Andrew in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Andrew.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, I just think concerning the followers, the OxyContin kid.
I'm calling him the minister of OxyContin. In this administration, that's his job.
I heard someone else on the radio, and if I cross a line, I apologize. I heard another radio personnel describe him as a stick for his function drug.
As a what? I couldn't hear it.
I heard someone else describe him as extremely.
You know what? You're going to have to call back because your signal, you're so broken up. I couldn't understand it. I hope it's legal for the for the FCC. Thank you, Andrew. 349-1320. What was he saying? Maybe you could hear it. I couldn't hear it. Mike and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike. Mike? Going once? Going twice? I guess Mike is not there. Mike has called us and then among the dearly departed. Okay. And so these are some of the things we're talking about. We're talking about even if you've committed a minor drug infraction, if you're legal or illegal, the Supreme Court has ruled in favor of immigrants. Well, there's a surprise. Also, if you are on an airplane I have to tell the first class travelers on a British Airways transatlantic flight were horrified when they were forced to sit next to a dead body for 3 hours. Yes, an elderly passenger had died of a heart attack just minutes earlier. They had called over the loudspeaker for a physician, a doc. They tried everything to restart the guy's heart. It wasn't possible, and they had to do something with him. And the only place there was room for him was in first class. And so if you were in first class, you were sitting next to a corpse for 3 hours. First class. What should they do? I think they should refund some of your fare. It has to be very creepy. I mean, we know and everything else, but it's got to be very, very disturbing to sit next to a corpse for 3 hours on a transatlantic flight. And a flight was brought down in Nashville, a forced plane landing, not because of turbulence, because of flatulence. It brought 99 passengers on an American Airlines flight to an unscheduled stop in Nashville. American Flight 1053 from Washington Reagan National Airport, bound for Dallas-Fort Worth, made an emergency landing after passengers reported smelling struck matches. The plane landed safely. The passengers and crew, five crew members, were brought off the plane. Bomb-sniffing dogs found spent matches. The FBI questioned a passenger who admitted that she struck the matches in an attempt to conceal her body odor, and she has some sort of a medical condition. The flight took off again, but the woman was not allowed back on the plane. American Airlines has banned her for a long time. She was not charged, but she could have been charged. While it's legal to bring as many as 4 books of paper safety matches onto an aircraft, it is illegal to strike a match in an airplane. So she has some sort of a medical condition where she didn't smell too good, and she was striking matches. And they're saying flatulence, so it must be about flatulence that brought down the aircraft, not turbulence. 349-1320. Must have been. I wonder if the minister of OxyContin was on that aircraft. Stark in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Stark.
Hello, Enid. I had a comment to make about some of the president's remarks about the Iraq Study Group report this morning that really made me angry.
Tell me.
Well, he said that this report would provide the basis for, I don't remember the exact words, but like unilateral and bipartisan discussion for possible resolutions of this situation. And what made me mad about that is he's been the president for many years now, and all during this period of the Iraq war, there's been that opportunity for that kind of discussion and that's the discussion of possible resolutions of various issues because he's supposed to be the president. And he didn't do that. He hasn't done that for years. And for him to cite this particular report as being an opportunity for that just kind of kisses off every opportunity that he's had to provide the leadership that would resolve this situation for years now.
Well, the only reason he's even making this statement is because he has to. He's got to say something.
I know that.
He's got, you know, his father's old cronies have pushed him to the wall where he looks more delusional than ever.
Yeah, it's just an illustration of his total presidency about how he's only done things that have caused him to react to what someone else has done first. He's not a leader, he's a follower.
And he's not much of a follower. This is a man who's had a track record of incompetence. And you know, very often what they say about success, you know, we've been talking about happiness, but what they say about success is once you enjoy a lot of success, it breeds more success. Success breeds success. And in his case, he's such a loser at heart. Well, that even having all this success, which I think even puzzled his close family, I have read accounts of that because it was his brother Jeb who was supposed to be the president, who everybody thought had a bright political future, not a guy who had a drug problem until he was 40 years old.
Well, it's just illustrative of what the United States, the citizens of the United States will go for at times. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Well, I think Governor Schnorzy is another example, right? It's in the same ballpark.
That's exactly right.
Thank you, Stark. I appreciate the call. How do you feel about what Stark had to say? And what does it say about us? You know, one of the questions I asked a little while ago was we are now at a time, it's a kind of a critical time in, I think,
Boulevard, East Street en route to northbound Cap City Freeway and Wallerga Road at Antelope Road. Stockton Boulevard and Mack Road, there's a two-car crash slowing things down as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken.
It's radio in the Left Zone. Left Zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
How would you like to cut your...
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
We're talking about lots of things. We're talking about how we're poisoning ourselves and how we have poisoned ourselves politically. And we're talking about literally poisoning ourselves. 83% of the chickens are poisoned with a bacteria. And so you really have to cook them. You're hoping to be healthy by having chicken and not fatty beef. And then you find out that 83% of the chickens these are killer chickens, I guess. Then you have New York City that is trying to legislate against trans fat. And, you know, I don't know, those of you who are smokers and talk about smokers' rights, maybe they're groups of trans fats rights people. I don't know. Terry and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Enid. Yeah, about the trans fats. You know, Europe has banned trans fats years ago. Swedish studies showed that there's a zero threshold of safety for trans fats. A year later, the United States Department of Health said that they had to uphold that too, zero threshold for the disease of trans fats. The secret ingredient in trans fat is not the hydrogenation; it is the fact that they infuse nickel pellets into your food. microscopic nickel pellets that end up in your bloodstream, and these are like radioactive.
Now, I've never heard that. I just heard that it clogs you. It's very bad for you. Give us some examples of trans fats. Is Crisco a trans fat?
Yes. Things like Oreo cookies, what trans fats do, the nickel kills all living organisms in the fat. So therefore, it bleaches it out into a whiteness that you can get a nice creamy white Oreo-looking cookie or your butters and stuff. Then they can control what kind of yellowness they want to put by the amount of food coloring or additive. So it kills all living matter. Well, once it gets into you, you have a lot of living matter that lives and resides in your intestinal flora and fauna that it kills as well. Then what happens is the nickel pellets get into your bloodstream, and kind of like a pinball machine, the little ball that bounces around, ricochets and bounces off the sides of the veins of the blood, the veins, and they don't like it, so they start packing what was once what they call good cholesterol. That's the cholesterol that surrounds the nerve lining. People with...
That would be HDL, I think.
People with MS, they lose the myelin tissue on the outside of their nerve sheathing. So what happens is the body, the liver, makes the cholesterol, and it packs the inside of the vein because it doesn't like the disruption from the nickel pellets careening off the sides of the walls, and therefore it gets clogged.
All right, Terry, tell us, what items have trans fats? So I assume you agree with New York City's decision to make trans fats illegal. It's illegal in restaurants. I think you can probably still buy it in the grocery store, can't you?
No, it should be illegal everywhere. The thing is, this is California. We have a right to know law, and no one's ever asked about, is there nickel in your product? And all nickel is a carcinogen. There's no nickel that is.
Are you a researcher? Are you a physician? Are you or just somebody who's interested in it?
Over 25 years, I've had chemical poisoning, environmental illness, and I was one of the first ones to open the floodgate for people to get Social Security because of those diseases.
Okay.
I've spoken with many doctors and from the audience, and they themselves have asked me if I was a...
Well, we don't have enough meat inspectors. We don't have inspectors, enough chicken inspectors. And certainly, I don't think we have any trans fat inspectors. You have a food industry that is a special interest, and they get to do pretty... You know, there's not sufficient inspection, and I don't think that there is sufficient oversight. But I'm glad you called us with this information, Terry. 349-1320, Sandra and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Enid. Hey, listen, you know, the thing about the trans fat, they passed legislation that they had to, you know, put a label of food, right? But did you know that they put it so they can allow for a half a gram of that fat? Not
it's worth the trade-off, but it usually isn't. We usually get accustomed to the salary, and then we wind up missing our friends. So, you know, and we don't want to gain that 5 or 10 pounds that the holidays usually pack on our poor little hips. Anthony and Davis, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, when you're reading labels, you're looking for anything that says hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oil, and that's going to be a trans fat.
Okay, hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oil. Does Crisco qualify?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you were going to make those flaky pie crusts, forget about it.
Yeah, just use butter. You're better off. It tastes better anyway.
Okay. All right, so use butter. Part hydrogenated and partially hydrogenated oils.
Right.
Okay. And that's it? That'll cover the territory?
For the most part.
Okay. Anthony, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate the information. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Our leather weather tonight.
Oh, we're not going there.
Oh, yeah, been there,
Santa,
done that.
Santa's got a whip, I guess.
Well, hello, Santa. Do me a favor, though, Santa, and stay away from southbound I-5. My goodness, there's hit and runs, traffic all over the place. I mean, if you have to touch down here in a week or so, you might want to do it. Well, Mather Field's a good place to start. Bradshaw Road to Keeper Boulevard, though, there is a hit and run. It's slow over there. And East Street on routes northbound Cap City Freeway. It's a little backed up due to a 3-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid. set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
Oh, come.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. 349-1320.
We wish you the merriest, the merriest, the merriest, the merriest New Year.
We wish you the merriest, the merriest, the merriest, yes, the merriest. We wish you the merriest, the merriest, the merriest New Year. We wish you the happiest, the happiest, the happiest, yes, the happiest. We wish you the happiest, the happiest, the happiest, the happiest New Year. May your tree be filled with happiness, happiness and friendliness for all. May your heart be filled with cheerfulness, happiness and cheerfulness for all. We wish you the happiest, the happiest,
the happiest,
happiest, yes, the happiest. We wish you the merriest, the merriest, the merriest. You'll cheer and the happiest.
6:55 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. There's not a live person in that singing group. And they're wishing us good things in our heart, but not trans fat. Okay, we've been talking about poisoning ourselves, what this society has been doing. But let me add to the story. A woman has sued the Kraft, I think it's Kraft Foods, because they are promising, yeah, Kraft has got a guacamole dip, but it doesn't have any guacamole in it. California did not give birth to guac, but it can certainly claim parental rights. Some 95% of the nation's avocados are grown in California. So there's a sort of poetic justice in the efforts of an L.A. woman. And what she has done, she has... She was buying this guac mix that Kraft makes, and she looked at the label, and it was made of food starch, hydrogenated soybean oil, so I guess that must be a trans fat, potatoes, xanthan gum, whatever that may be, yellow and blue dyes. And you think you're eating guacamole, but you know what you're eating? You're not. There's no guacamole. There's not an avocado that set foot near this thing. And so she says that she's, she says she was claimed she was hoodwinked by this phony guacamole So she attempted to make a three-layer dip using the guac by Kraft Foods, and it just didn't taste avocado-y. And then she looked at the label, and she it does have avocado, less than 2% of avocado. So she filed suit against Kraft, claiming it committed guac fraud, and she is seeking class action status and plans to sue other unholy guac makers in the near future. And I think, you know, some people think she's abusing the courts, but good for her. They're advertising it as a guacamole dip, and there's no, this thing hardly laid near an avocado. Report is ranking the healthiest dates. Where do you think we've fit in? Who do you think is the healthiest state? Number one in the healthiest states. Well, it is Minnesota. It's not us. It's Minnesota. But Minnesota is at the top. Well, you know why? Because they have the Mayo Clinic there. That's why. If you're not healthy, you can run to the Mayo Clinic, and then maybe they'll make you healthy. This is a report by United Health Foundations. And so if you go to Minnesota, and by the way, can I tell you, there was a big story about Minnesota.